Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Big Brother 22 post-season interview. Today, I am here with the champion, the winner of All-Stars 2, Big Brother 22. Yeah. It's Cody. How you doing, Cody?
Hanging in. Another day out here outside of the house, so just getting reacclimated, but happy to be out, to be honest. I'd rather be out here than in that Big Brother house.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a weird thing. I imagine, you know, 85 days plus all of the extra time that you had in sequester, and quarantining and then coming out of the house. How's the feel? Are you doing okay?
I take it day by day, first couple of days I was waking up still thinking I was in the house. Mm-hmm. The first night I actually was waking up next to my girlfriend. I was like, wow, I had a weird dream that I was out of the house. And she was like, you are out of the house. So every day is different. You know what I'm saying? But I've been getting back into the swing of things. And the good thing is I kind of jumped right back into working, which kind of helps you. Even though it shocks the system, it immediately detaches me and kind of puts me back into the real world. So every day is one step closer to just feeling a little bit more normal. Mm-hmm. But I definitely, it's very exhausting. I feel myself, every conversation I have, every time I do something, it's crazy. I don't know if my everything is so heightened in the Big Brother house, but everything outside takes a lot out of me now. So I'm just getting reacclimated out here, but doing well.
Did you feel that way after your first time playing?
I can't remember. I remember feeling very detached from a lot. The first time I played and not being able to sleep. Now, it's very different. I readjusted to the East Coast time very quickly. After the first time, I just felt I don't know, it took me a long time to just kind of settle back in. And that's what I wanted to do differently this time. I feel the first time I just didn't feel working, came off and was just oh, I just want to ride this. I want to see what's going on. And after the second time, I'm like, I want to reacclimate myself as quickly as possible so that I come back to reality. Mm-hmm. And I'm not dragging out this whole process of, coming off the show and, then all of a sudden falling into a bad habit of just not reacclimating myself into everyday life.
It makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering because, your first game wasn't quite as involved as the second game in terms of how many things you were juggling. And so I'm curious to know if it's because it's, I can imagine you just spent 85 days, every single conversation was an opportunity for you to screw it all up. And then you get out and it's which is slightly different, I think, than even, a player that is on the outs who they're just fighting to survive. That's a different kind of stress, right? Totally. But they don't have to, they get to be themselves a lot more. They get to kind of be honest a little more, right?
Right. I totally agree with you. I totally agree. This season took a really high toll on me, mentally, physically. My first time I came off and I gained weight. This time I came off and I lost 15 pounds, just stress. The first time I felt a lot of the decision-making was on Derek and that's why he held a lot of stress. And I think I was just kind of going with the flow, being myself. This time I had to juggle so many different things where I was not being myself, even though I am being myself. A lot of conversations and a lot of things were calculated. And so that takes a different kind of toll on you than the first time.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt it this time a lot more.
Yeah. How's the response been? Are you deep in the fan base, the community response at all? Or are you just kind of that's too much for me?
I love reading up on stuff. I love seeing different things that people are saying. It's really nice to get the reception that I have coming out as a game player. Because there are always people that just dislike you. Mm-hmm. I have people that dislike me. I have people that try to attack me. There's a lot of different things that you got to juggle. I ignore 100% of that. But as a game player, the reception has been incredible. And it's not what I got the first time. The first time it was more oh my, we loved you. You were so funny. This time it's literally I'm viewed as one of the top players. And it's a completely different reception. It's still a little bit surreal to me because I guess I don't feel like I don't view myself that way. So it's a weird reception to like handle it, but it is, it's really nice, you know? So I'll say that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a bit about the game here. So All-Stars 2, people have been expecting it for a long time. Did you ever think that you would come back and play again, that you'd have this opportunity?
Oh, wow. Definitely not. I don't know. I guess even the first time, I feel like a lot of people kind of like overlooked me. And on our season, like I felt like when you're a calculated person, there needs to be information that you're making calculated decisions based off of. And I felt like people just overlooked like how most decisions were only made based off of the information that I was gaining from so many different people. And my social game was just overlooked. And then the decision-making was kind of like back and forth between Derek and I, with Derek ultimately like having his relationships. But I just felt like my game was a little overlooked that first time, you know? So it was, I don't know. It was definitely, I kind of forget where we were.
Well, I will say just to brag for myself a little bit here. I did tweet out a clip of this. We did a Best to Never Win podcast 4 years ago. And I was the only person to have you on my list. And I said, if this guy comes back, he's going to do really well.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's what you asked. Yeah. You were like, did you ever think you were coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, I didn't know. I didn't know if like they did an All-Stars, would they view me in that, or would Derek need to be there? So then it was us as a duo, you know. I just didn't know if that would ever be the case. And so, you know, getting the call, it was like, I just was like, yep, done. I'm coming back.
There it is. You know, all right.
Completely different. So,
well, there's been a lot of talk about like what happened in the pregame. What kind of preparation did you do? Can you tell me what was the preparation like?
I did it all. Anybody that wanted to open their mouth, I noted the names. I noted every person that was leaked on a source. I noted everything. My name never seemed to come up, which I thought was great. And every time I saw somebody's name come up, I noted it and started watching their seasons. So I started watching different things that people did on their seasons. I started seeing like, oh, this person's going to be there. Because I had really been talking to Derek. Like, I think anybody that thought I wouldn't be talking to Derek, because Derek got the call. Like, anybody that was like, oh, Cody didn't like talk to Derek, would have been like, well, yeah, obviously he's not only like become one of my best friends, but like we played the game together. Like, we love talking Big Brother. And so like, I don't know, like people, I heard this big thing about pre-gaming Derek set me up. Like, I talked to Derek. I didn't talk to people. Like, there were other people that I know we're talking, and I don't care to really get into it, but like the more people were talking, the more names were coming out, the more people were finding out information, and the more I was able to prepare. Like, really, everybody doing this whole like conversation, like all these conversations, it only was able to allow me to do my homework on who I thought would be in the house, see different people that I heard might've been talking, and then know like if something was going on, like, I don't really believe this, something else is here. And so I wasn't going in there. Like, there wasn't a big alliance. There wasn't a bunch of conversations that were had. There just wasn't that. But obviously everybody loves to speculate. And I do think that even the people that had relationships beforehand, like when you get in the house, like you have to navigate inside of the Big Brother house, and there's no saying where that game is going to go and what ends up happening that makes relationships like get severed and people to part ways. So all that stuff, it's hard to even touch on, but I know every time I saw a name during my sequester, I watched every single one of those seasons. So that's how my pre-gaming was.
Yeah. Who would you say you felt like you did have some kind of relationship with prior to entering the game?
It was definitely Nicole. I felt very, very tight to Nicole. Nicole and I have barely spoke since our season, but she was just somebody that I was like, she connected with my brother so, so heavily on their season. And so I was like, I feel like that relationship between her and I was kind of rekindled by my brother. And so I was like, and she was like so insanely loyal to my brother. And so knowing that, I was like, this is going to be somebody that I know. Her and I had a good relationship, but we didn't have that like one step further relationship like we had this season. Enzo was somebody that I knew just because of the Jersey connection I was going to click with, you know? And so then everybody else, I just kind of like felt out and I bonded, and there were different things that like grew us closer, different things that like split us apart. But it was just, I don't know. Nicole and I just had such an authentic relationship. And then we had to really detach ourselves because immediately Kacer and Janelle were trying to pin us together. Mm-hmm. So it was really tough because then she was somebody that I was very close with. And I was like, well, I can never be around you because then everybody's going to think we are closer. We are like as close as they're saying, and they could put a target on us. So it was really them two. And then it was nice because then later on in the game, I think I got to a point with Nicole where I was like, I don't think I care anymore to like be close to you. I don't like, because we had not been around each other for so long. And I was like, you know what? I don't even care. Like, let's just hang out and like be seen as a group, because like, I think at this point, like everybody really knows that like, it's not like you and I aren't close. So.
Mm-hmm. You talked about watching the seasons of the players that you played with. I definitely, you know, saw that you talked about their season sometimes.
I would go to their games and be like, well, this is what happened on theirs.
Yeah.
This is what they were doing. And that's preparation. Like,
it astounded me that more people didn't do that or didn't like, because like there were so many people that people weren't trusting Janelle because of like whatever, and they were like, you know, people like Nicole or Kevin who were like oh, we can't trust Janelle, she's like a sneaky player. Like, did you watch any of her season? Yeah.
Janelle is as straight up as any person can be. She wears her emotions on her shoulders. She will call you out to your face if she doesn't like you. And people that she tends to like, she tends to just like socially gather around and be near. That's why I felt everybody, and you know, everybody will say whatever they want outside of the house. And obviously there's speculation about stuff that she said before. But I know based on like human reception, how Janelle was starting to warm up to me. And I think in the beginning she would have targeted me, but I think after a couple of weeks, she would have ended up like falling away. Now, Kacer, that was if Kacer was like gone before her. And I think if Kacer would have went, then it would have really brought us closer. But with Kacer in the house, he would have always been in her ear. And so she was always a problem, even though our personal relationship and the social aspect to the game, we were really connecting. You know, whenever people would talk about stuff, I'd be like, Janelle is going to call you out if she doesn't like you. Like, this is going to be like a blow up. And you saw that with Nicole. Like, it was like, she never was around Nicole. She was never having conversations with Nicole. And so that was happening with a lot of different people in the house. And I just kept being like, is anybody watching? Like, well, I don't know. It was, I don't know. I thought it would have been done more too.
Yeah. Well, one question I think a lot of people had very early on was that you had talked about watching people's seasons. You talked about knowing about Memphis's game, but you seemed to have no idea who Keisha was.
Yeah, I knew Memphis's game through Dan.
Yeah.
That's why like I would like, I didn't watch a lot of like a lot of different things. And it just was like, I know Memphis from like the season and like Dan. And so I was just like, Keisha was just not a big personality for mine. Like from season 10, like the only people that I really noted were Jesse, Jerry, Dan, and then Memphis through Dan. But 10 was one that I just kind of like didn't really watch a lot of in Sequester. I just knew about 10 from like different like conversations I had from like watching it loosely when my dad would watch. And so like, I feel like people just nitpick every single thing that was said. And I might've said something about watching different things, but that was also because I felt like a lot of people came to me and would talk about different things and would trust like me to be like, well, you knew this about this person. So like, I would just bullshit too. Like there's like what people think is like, oh, there's everybody is so critical based off of every single thing said, but there's like aspects of bullshitting this in this game that people are just like, oh, see, he's lying. It's like, no, I just said stuff in conversations because I wanted people to think I was just like the person to come to and want to talk to. And so there's always things that everybody like nitpicks and is like, oh, well, if he watched that season, how come he doesn't know Keisha? It's like, because I didn't just recently watch the season. Because to be honest, Memphis's name wasn't a name that like I was seeing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't seeing Keisha's name either.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like watching like a lot of 10, but I did know about Memphis and Dan through Derek, because Derek would always talk about that duo constantly.
Yeah.
And so like part of that was preparation of like, but he would do that on season 16. So like that wasn't even something that him and I talked about, but it was just like, I remember that. And then it's just like saying different things. I'm like, oh yeah, I watched that too. But like everybody just nitpicks on like everything that goes on. So I was just, when I heard that one, I was like, oh, here we go. I was like, my bad. I said one thing that people wanted to grab onto and ride that into things, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm honest, but I also know how to bullshit. When I was in there, I was spewing out things left and right sometimes that I just can't keep track of. And so I would just talk sometimes, and you know, that's what goes on. It's part of the game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you like to talk. Yeah. That was, I think there was one, there's a moment where Janelle was campaigning to you. And it was around that time that I was like, man, Cody is just really talented at saying so much without actually saying anything.
And I think that's everybody makes fun of me for like the like segment, like the like. And so, yeah, I think, you know what? I realized that I thought that was going to be a story for me based off of my vetoes and my nominations, because essentially every time I nominated or didn't use the veto or used it, like I was saying nothing, but I was like saying stuff. And I felt that I was like, I'm saying absolutely nothing. And people might end up just being like, he's just annoying. Because I felt that in my speeches and when I was nominating people, I was just saying nonsense and not really saying anything, to be honest.
But yeah, I mean, you had like a 2-hour conversation with Keisha right after you nominated her. It was just like, yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah, it was forever, but I felt bad. I was like, when is this conversation going to be over? Nominated you. Like, come on.
So
you're like, let's just move on from it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, Memphis and Keisha both were names that were not really floating around, and that's because they were last minute replacements on the cast. I assume that, you know, Casey and Josh were two of the names that were two of the biggest names out there. What was the game plan if Casey and Josh were there? Because obviously with Christmas there, Tyler there, what was the original game plan for what to do if they're in the cast?
That was very difficult for me because I love Casey, loved her game, loved who she was. And I would have wanted to work with Casey so badly, but I know that since they were on the challenge, there was like a relationship between them personally that had formed, and I would not have trusted Josh or wanted to work with him. And so that would have been a weird, weird aspect of the game that I was trying to prepare for. I was like, I would have felt like I needed to tiptoe around that relationship until the right time would have come to just like clip that relationship. And I would have, I don't know, I think that would have been a whole nother dynamic that would have had to have played out in the house. Because like, that's how I was going to go in if they were both in there, because those are two names that I had heard. I was like, I want to work with her. I'm going to be forced to work with him. Hopefully I'll get so close with her that it'll stop him from coming after me, because him and my brother had a rocky relationship. And so maybe she can like shield that and push that away from him doing it for enough time for me to be able to do it to him. And so I was prepared for that and hoping, but who knows how that would have played out. You know, it would have been a whole nother dynamic in the game. So
that is something that I was kind of seeing in the first week. My theory was, you know, you were thinking about targeting Case or you're thinking about targeting Keisha, that it seemed like there were a lot of pairs in the house where you kind of wanted to work with one of them, but you would prefer that the other one was gone. Right. So like, get rid of Kaser, work with Janelle, get rid of Keisha, work with Memphis.
Totally. And that's what everybody was saying. Memphis and Keisha are tight. They were on the same season. I was like, well, Nicole and I were on the same season. We haven't spoke since our season. And we were like pretty close. And I was part of the reason why she went home. Memphis was directly the reason why Keisha went home. And so I was like weighing all these things and like, but the one person, when he was like, you know, Janelle and I are not close, when Casey would say that, I'd be like, dude, I don't believe anything you're saying. We're like, when Memphis, like, I talked to Memphis early on and he like never had an issue cutting Keisha at all. He was like, yeah, let's do it. And so like, so relationships like build, and that's where like, you know, early on, I felt very comfortable with Memphis because I felt like we had that like duo that like we were like the second guys, you know, like that whole Derek, Dan, Cody, Memphis thing. Like I felt like just like linked us. Then you know, in the beginning when he was like willing to do that with Keisha, kind of showed. I was like, oh, cool. It was in the second week with Memphis that I was like, dude, what is this dude's deal really? I was like, I don't know that I could really even trust him that much, because all he's doing is telling me that we're in this alliance. We have this alliance. We have this final two. And then there's people that are targeting me and I'm like, you're not targeting these people. Well, what's the deal with us? Where are we really at? And so like, for me, I was always very like skeptical of Memphis until we got later in the game. And as weeks went on, him and I bonded and our bond got even stronger until the end of the game, where I think both of us were unwilling to take the other one. Mm-hmm. I think we both got to that point. I think I just was able to do it before he could. I think in that week, if Christmas wins, I go home over Memphis easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I feel like I digress a little bit, but
no, it's fine. We'll get there. So week one, you win the first HOH. You talked about this on the feeds that you came in, you kind of saw some people that you weren't expecting, that you were nervous about. And many of those people were the people you were competing against in the final part of the competition. So you felt like you needed to win this one.
I just didn't know, like in that group of people, I was like, which one of these people are going to like not target me? And there was not a person that made me feel like really great. And so I was like, I saw a lot of people that I thought like I saw Tyler over there, I saw Nicole over there, I saw Enzo over there. And I was like, wait a minute. Like those would have been people that I would have been a little more comfortable with. Like these people, I was like, I don't feel that comfortable. And so that's when I was just like, you know what, I'm going for this HOH and then we'll see how it plays out afterwards.
It was an interesting first week. It's very rare that we actually get the feeds to turn on in the first night. And so we actually got to see like the development of these structures that eventually were put into place. And it seemed like it was interesting because it seemed like you were kind of sitting back for a little while. And it seemed like nothing was really happening. And then like a couple of days in, things really started to like fall into place, like thing after thing. What was you come in, you're the first HOH, you talked about this, you know the influence that gives you. You were part of the bomb squad, which was, you know, eventually becomes the detonators and the whatever. So what is the game plan? How do you set things up in your favor?
So for me, I wanted to like use the HOH and wait to see like kind of what relationships were forming, but I kind of didn't wanna. The first day was a lot. And by the second day is when I finally like set into the rhythm of like, okay, the game is going on, because by the second day, people were coming and having conversations with me because of the safety suite competition. This first week was so different than my first season, because in the first season, nominations weren't for like a few days. Whereas this, we kind of knew like noms are coming up very soon. And we didn't have that prolonged week, because I had asked before and I was like, is this a 2 week like first eviction or is this a normal eviction? And they had said normal eviction. So I knew we were on a short week and, you know, the game was going to kind of happen. And so for me, what I wanted to do was set myself in a position where I now had so many people I was branching out with that next week when I'm not competing, I can be okay. And I felt very nervous because a lot of things that people were saying to me were, you're a comp beast. You flew through that 22 seconds. And so I felt like on top of trying to form relationships, I was constantly deflecting like the speed of my time versus how everybody else would have beat me if they just got lucky like I did and took the right path. And so I felt like I wanted to build relationships, get personal with people, see different conversations, like see who I was getting close with, while also deflecting the fact that like I wasn't that strong of a player, because I didn't want to be targeted immediately in the second week. And so through that, it's honestly, you form the relationships, but there were people that I didn't have good relationships with after that first week that might've put me on the block. You know, like I just wanted to form as many as I possibly could and as many like serious ones as I possibly could without like overstepping and overplaying and being the one that was always starting them. Mm-hmm. Because what everybody likes to do is they like to, you know, form these alliances with people inauthentically, and then they're just rushing and it blows up. Like you saw Devin on my season. I learned from that. Like Devin was just like the guy that wanted to be like the alpha and be like, I started this and I'm doing this. And it ended up blowing up in his face. So in the first week, I just wanted to form as many like quality relationships instead of just trying to force like, oh, let's have an alliance. Oh, let's have an alliance here. Let's have an alliance here. And so I wanted to start forming like those relationships. Like early on, it was in that first week, it was Danny, Davon, Nicole, Memphis, Enzo, Tyler were all people that I was like, we're not in an alliance just yet, but like you're people that I felt very close with. And then it branched into like, I really started getting close with like David and Bailey. And so that all was dragging out. And the only reason why it was able to happen that way is because I was the HOH and I didn't have to stress about keeping myself off the block, competing in the competitions coming up. Like it was just about forming those relationships. So that's really what the first week was about for me, trying to get in and get like roots started in as many relationships as I possibly could.
Yeah.
Without having to like form alliances where it's like, I'm that guy in the beginning playing too hard.
Enzo is one of the bonds that you made early on. And you talked about like, I'm waiting for Enzo to like do this for me. Cause I know Enzo is going to be like raring up to form something officially. And if we can just wait for Enzo to do it, that would be great.
Yeah. And that's what like, I was always like pushing, like whenever I talked to Memphis early on in that first week, it was like, all right, you go talk to these people. Like, you form the alliance, let it kind of trickle over to me. And so like when he started talking to Danny and then he started talking to Christmas and then it came around and then Enzo was like always going and like connecting with Bailey. And then I had a good thing with Davon. So then us four kind of came together like organically. And then when everything else was happening, like Enzo went and talked to Danny and then Danny talked to Davon and then the Slick Six formed. So I never wanted to be the person that was like, oh, I'm going and I'm talking to you. And now I'm talking to you. And now I'm talking to you. Cause then as those conversations start happening around the house, it's always like, well, Cody was starting this. Cody was starting that. I think he's trying to play all of us, which is what ended up collapsing on Danny. So I wanted to never be that person early on. And I think I avoided that. And I think everybody just knew that I had good relationships with a lot of people in the house, but didn't know how serious it was because even with the Danny, Nicole, Ian one, like I let Nicole be the head forefront of that. So like it was her and Ian and then me and Danny, which gave Ian, like him and I, that link. So I never wanted to be the person that was like at the forefront, but I always wanted to be a part of it all. So that's why I felt like my relationships in the first week allowed by the second week, the alliances to start forming without me being the one like being at the forefront, like go getter, like let's start this one here. Let's start this one here. Let's start this one here. Because then that's what I thought was going to like blow up in my face.
Yeah. Early on, one of the connections that you had was really prominent and was going around the house. As far as I can tell from what I was able to gather, this actually started from Bailey. Bailey told Janelle, like early on day two, she said, hey, watch out for Cody and Tyler. They're really tight. Janelle then took that to Kaser and then they spread it around for a long time. Was this something that, cause what I saw between you and Tyler is that like day one, you were like, hey, let's run this thing. You had a couple of conversations with him, but it really wasn't until like day seven that you started to actually connect.
Right. And the reason why we connected, now that you say that, because that's the first time I'm hearing that. And so like, that's information that now makes things make sense because I have no idea why Bailey would say that because I don't know what was said, but I knew that Bailey and Janelle were tight from conversations that I had heard beforehand. And so to say that, it almost like hammered the target on all of their heads because now this totally makes sense. Like Janelle, it caused the reason why they linked Tyler and I over everybody else just thinking that I thought like it was just because people thought like, oh, we were just going to be physical threats. And like, we both had good games or social games on our seasons. And so it totally makes sense now, but all they did was make Tyler and I get even tighter. And that just blew up in their faces because when Tyler wanted to win comps or when I wanted to win comps, like we were winning comps. So that's just how the game goes. You hedge your bets and hope for the best. And they hedged their bets the wrong way and only brought me in closer to people that made it more beneficial to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and you talked to Enzo about this and you talked to Nicole about this as well, that there were two people that you were working with that you were a little skeptical of, Tyler being one of them, Danny being the other. You were concerned that Tyler wouldn't win comps for you until he started to.
Well, he just, I knew he was throwing comps. Like, you don't play in 10 vetoes and win two
yeah.
without throwing competitions. And he was doing it his entire season because he didn't ever wanted to show his positioning in the house, which is great gameplay. But then at the end, depending on who he was loyal to, he ended up clipping somebody that who was Brett, mm-hmm. who he was very, very tight with, or who Brett thought was he was very tight with. And so I always was nervous, like, Tyler's great and I'm tight with Tyler, but I feel like Tyler will clip me once he gets the chance if he doesn't feel like he can beat me. And I always had that thought in my head about Tyler from the beginning of the game. So yeah, it was nice because I think they lit the fire under Tyler's butt, or else I don't even know that Tyler would have went after that third HOH. And so it's like all these different things kind of like made stuff fall into place in a way where someone like Tyler, I don't think would have been gunning for competitions the way that he was, but then you saw how very capable he was of winning when he wanted to win.
Yeah, and he really did want to pull in Kacer and you know, to a lesser extent, Chanel. They weren't really giving him enough of you know, the time of the day to make it happen.
Now I'm finding out it's because of Bill.
Well, yeah, like that was in their minds. And then I think the thing that really solidified it to them was after Kacer wins the safety suite, Nicole goes up there and talks to you. Then Tyler goes up there and talks to you. It's not really a substantive conversation. But to them, that was like, that seals it. It's right. Cody and Tyler.
That is what everything does in the Big Brother house. Like, you speculate, it turns to a rumor, turns to truth, turns to like cold hard facts.
Yep.
And I felt that Kacer was always that person.
Yeah, I mean, I think too, like, the thing that I talked about with Kacer a lot is that, like, especially early on, he had some really bad reads in the sense that he kept like predicting things before they were actually happening and might have actually been making them happen by predicting them. But at the same time, like, he had a point, and he talked to Memphis about it in week two. He was like, dude, every season there's a big group that forms. If they gain momentum, they control the lines of communication. They hold all the power and they'll just steamroll to the end. We have to stop that from happening this season. And of course he's talking to Memphis, who's like, yeah, I'm in it, dude. Yeah, he did have a point.
I'm the person starting it.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is like, but I know that, but the thing is if you're a player and like, you know, the game, everybody knows that. Kacer and I had that conversation on the second day before he played the safety suite. That was our conversation, was there's going to be a big alliance forming. Like, I just feel like everybody's a little nervous right now. And I think as time goes on, like, it's going to form. And then because it didn't form right in that moment, he started like freaking out and was like, well, I'm not in it because it's not forming, obviously. Mm-hmm. When all he did was just cause like targets to go on his back. And then he was running around. I always describe Janelle as the beast, Kacer as the mouth. Like, that's what their relationship was. Janelle's straight up. She's a beast. She wins comps. Kacer's just the mouth. And I think it just got them both in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how, and it all started in that first week because he was picking the wrong people to talk to because he thought Christmas, as much as Memphis, was on the outs and they were both on the ins. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he was talking to Bale, and that part of that was, and that's why, like, for me, you form relationships. And for me in that first week, I wanted to form relationships. And then I was going to let actions, like, kind of show me where I needed to navigate. Because after that first week, I had relationships with just about everybody. And information was coming. And then when it wasn't coming from other people, it let me know where I stood with those people. And so that's where I was kind of basing my decisions off of. And so it all really stemmed from that first week, and it kind of like snowballed. And then when that alliance formed in at the second week, it just kind of like picked up steam going into the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And we just kind of like, until we had to implode, it was pretty intense.
Yeah. It was a bad result though, the first week for Kacer to win the safety suite and save Janelle, because you were planning on putting at least Kacer on the block.
He would have been up 100%. So his inkling of feeling that was 100% correct. And I think I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know if it was set on the feeds. I think what it stemmed from, and I don't really know, because when I talked to Janelle about it, and I'm very good at, I remember every, like, what I'm saying, and like saying when I have a conversation with somebody. And Janelle, I told Janelle, you're not going on the block. I did not say it to Kacer.
Yeah.
And so at first I thought all like this whole thing was stemming from that, because I had said it to Janelle and I didn't know if she like cross-referenced it. That's why then I brought it to Janelle like a week later. I was like, Janelle, do you remember when I told you I wasn't going to put you on the block? She said, no. I was like, all right, well, and I know I specifically said it to Janelle.
So this is what happened. I don't think Janelle remembered that you said that, but what Nicole Anthony remembered that you said to her that she was good. And so Kacer and Janelle cross-referenced with Nicole Anthony. They were like, did he tell you that you weren't going up? And she was like, yeah. Did he say that to you? And they were like, no.
I had said it to Janelle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny, you know, because you have these conversations with people and you're just like, oh, great. And like, because there were people that I really were into. It was from the start, like, and you want the relationships to work. But then when you see them, you know, like Nicole Anthony, she's one, like, I would have loved to have worked with Nicole Anthony. But then as she was getting closer to Janelle and Kacer, who were telling the entire house they were targeting me, and every time I had a conversation with her, it just kind of was not that. And that, even in that first week, it just was like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. Because then it was like, when I would talk to Nicole, I was like, what is going on, Nicole? Like, are you going to tell people that you're voting for Kevin? Or are you telling people that you don't really know, like, which way is? She goes, no, I said I'm voting for Kevin. And so then it kind of like allowed me to like take a step to the next person. But you see, these are different little things that like cause people to, like, I didn't know about that. And so like, these are different things that cause people to like blow up their own games, because they like take something and like let it completely explode what they were doing in the house. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is Big Brother 101. Do not gain information and allow that to be what you like cause to ruin your game. Like, take information in, like, and the only thing I could equate it to on my season is like, when I found out about the Wise guys, I could have been so emotional towards Memphis. Mm-hmm. And I was absolutely not. And so like, when you cause things like that to like, you act on emotion, you're like, oh man, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, it caused like a snowball, because then the next week it was just like Nicole, Kacer and Janelle, like, oh, they must've been like, they were like, oh, we must be in a group and you or so, like, it just caused them. And it just kind of was a downfall for Nicole.
It's funny you say that, because that's something that I was talking about in the early weeks, is that like there were players this season where, you know, they're trying to find out the truth. They're trying to find out more information. And usually you'd say, well, more information is better, but only if you're able to handle the information in the right way. Right. And so there are some players where if I want them to succeed, I'm actually rooting for them to not find out that they're getting played, because they'll play a better game not realizing it, which is weird.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that. It's a weird like concept to think about, but it is 100% correct, because when you don't have the information, it causes you to not really be paranoid. And if you're gaining all the information and you're not properly like calculating it, you're going to blow yourself up. And I think Kacer's somebody that like Pitt falls onto, and then people that are around him, like, it blows them up as well. And you saw that clearly this season. It was Keisha, Nicole, Janelle into Kacer. Like, and then it rolled right into Bailey, who was obviously close to Janelle, and like just between different things that she was saying, I was just like, so like, he not only was blowing it up for himself, but blowing it up for the people around him. But in Big Brother, if one of them win, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows what happens? It's the luck of the game. It's why it's such an incredible show. Or it could be such a, like, kind of, there's an aspect of it being a little bit boring, because like, where you want it, like, you're waiting every week for somebody that is going to shake it up to win. If they don't, it just ends up being what it was on our season, which, you know, it's good and it's bad, because it shows the different aspects of the game. It shows like really quality gameplay and other things that, you know, I think it's a little more frantic, whereas it's less gameplay. It's more just like, ha. Mm-hmm. And like, ours is more like strategic.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'll take the strategic game any day over like that. Ha, you lose. Like, see, it's not always going to go your way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the only reason why it's like why people hate the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. Whenever there's a group or a person or like people winning constantly or a team winning constantly, people just want the other team, another team to win.
Oh yeah. I mean, especially in Big Brother, it's all about the underdog.
100%. I feel I am the same exact way. Mm-hmm. I felt the same way about Big Brother 21. So yeah. I totally can side with everybody except for when I'm in the house, I side with myself.
Yeah. So you have a conversation with Dani early on. She approaches you. She's one of the first people to act like actually just openly talk to you about like, I want in. And you had been skeptical of her. You'd mentioned that to Nicole.
Yeah.
You trust her for like a brief moment in time. Yeah. And then it's done.
Personal connection, like really clicked. Like I clicked with her, like, because she was someone that always helped me like disconnect from the game where we would talk about Tennessee or Dom or Christy or like different places she has gone with Dom and like different experiences that I've had with my family and Christy. And so like, she really helped me disconnect. And then stuff was happening in the game where I was like, okay, focus back on like the gameplay, personal things out of it. She's really bad for your game. And in certain aspects, she was very great for my game and so many things. But like, and I've said this to her, I'm like, it got to a point where you were going down and you would have been bad for my game because I would have went down with you if I stayed super tight and didn't start kind of connecting with other people about your gameplay. And it's kind of unfortunate because then you're doing that to somebody who personally you connect with more than any of the other people. But game-wise, do you want to get to the end of the game? And I did. And so it's kind of what happened between her and I.
Yeah, I mean, she honestly... Totally
cool with, I think. She gives me crap about it all the time. But
yeah. I mean, she was probably the best thing for your game, honestly. Like, she was... Yeah. She took me like crazy. All the heat for you. Yeah. Did so much work for you and then also listened to what you wanted her to do. Like,
yeah, she was, I mean, I'll tell you, Dani and playing with her and like watching her, if she like kind of like could have reeled it, she is such an incredible, one of the best players I've ever seen play, but like always gets herself in a little bit of trouble because of like kind of like going and trying to do a little bit too much. If she kind of just sits back, because like she authentically connects with people. Mm-hmm. Better than anybody I've seen in the house and like gains trust from people. And if it wasn't for other people, like kind of seeing it, like Tyler and I kind of saw it was forming and then would always drop that to like Enzo and then Enzo would kind of see it. And then it kind of like spilled out into like our alliance. And then she was the first person that anybody wanted to target within the alliance before it could, honestly, it could have been me if it wasn't the case. So, you know, she was probably one of the best things. And then not to take away, she was easily probably the best, if not one of the best things. Cause then all she did was battle for me in the jury house. And so, yeah, I totally got to hand a lot of it to her.
Yeah. She's one of the primary reasons, like you're basically protected all season long because everyone is always coming after her before you, which is like, even if people had put you up throughout most of the season, it would have been probably next to Dani and Dani probably goes home. Yeah. So,
correct. And that's what I was hearing a lot. And that's why I was always like, you know what? Like, it's a good and it's a bad thing. But personally, it was really tough.
Yeah.
Because like I knew what was kind of happening to her. And I hated it because I was like, man, I like really, really like Dani. And so it's part of the game. It kind of sucks. But, you know, she was pissed about it, I think. But we talked it out. And, you know, it's just now something that she can like poke at me about and like give me fun. So it's fun.
Yeah. So Memphis approaches you with an idea for he initially has he wants to call it the unusual suspects at first.
Came up with commission first. Like he had all these. It was so funny because when I have in the conversations, I was like, you've thought about this for a while. You know? And so like when he was like when he already, when him and I like connected on our final two and he was like the commission, I was like, you've thought about having the final two with somebody and calling it this since like your first phone call, I can tell. And so it was when he said unusual suspects, I was just like, it's the name. I just was like, Memphis, come on. You're better than that.
Yeah. He initially lists Danny, Tyler, Christmas, and Bailey. It seems to me like in this conversation that you were just kind of like, whatever you want, man. Like, this sounds crazy. Oh, for
sure. Because one, I didn't want to name anybody. But like when I would hear like a Tyler, I'd be like, yes, absolutely, Tyler. Let's do it. I like Tyler. If it was somebody where I was like, Christmas was great because I didn't know if I fully was going to ever trust Christmas. And so hearing her name, I was like, perfect. Danny, I had already formed that bond with. And then the fact that like people that I was also forming relationships with, like Davon, Enzo, and Nicole were left out. For me, I was like, this is great. I was like, this is perfect. I was like, I'll have an alliance here. I'll have people that I'm already forming relationships with and have my final twos with over here. And like, that's what you want. You want to be spread out. You don't want the only people you're close with in your alliance. That's when you get to that this side versus this side and we're going at it. And then like, that doesn't really help you sustain your game if you're like going, because then if you're the biggest threat, you're just going to get targeted by the other side when they do win power. And so for me, it just was like when he was rambling off names, there were certain ones that I was like really into. And then when he was leaving some out, I wasn't going to fight for them. And then when he was like coming up with it, I was like, you go and start it and let it come branch to me. I was like, I'm not going to go and talk to anybody.
Yeah. And so by the end of the week, you've got the committee, which eventually replaces via Danny, Bailey with Danny, with Nicole.
Danny was big on pulling Nicole in, which I was like, you know what? Fine. I mean, that again, that worked with me too. When he mentioned that to me, I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. So you've got that. You've now got Connect Four with Enzo, yeah, Bailey, and Davon. You've got the Core Four. You've got the Root with Enzo. Yeah. You've got your thing with Nicole. And this is like, this is the structure that is, and this is part of why some of the people found the season a little boring. This is the structure that will just stomp toward the end of the game, and then play out basically how it's formed in week one, which is part of the reason why we're spending so much time in week one.
Yeah, no, it totally does, because everything for Bailey said it to me in the fifth week. She said that first HOH is important, which I agree and disagree, because there were people that didn't win that first HOH that steamrolled. It's all about relationships in that first week. You need and it's not just alliances, because you see how alliances that are formed in the first week blow up all the time, because you have to form authentic, serious relationships that will form into alliances. And if you force it, it only blows up in your face. We just got lucky with the committee that we ended up winning. And you had groups of people in there that were so loyal or were just like being targeted elsewhere. Or because like, if Tyler wasn't being targeted by Kaser and Janelle, he probably would have wanted to go after Danny in that third week, mm-hmm, which would have blown up the committee. And so, you know, it's just all about, because when you don't form relationships like organically and authentically, an alliance can form. And if you're not the one forming it, you're going to target people in that alliance anyways. So, and that, you know, so it's all about the relationships. And I felt after that first week, I remember one of the days I was sitting in the HOH room by the end of the week and I was counting off all the stuff I was in and that had formed. And you just basically mentioned it. And I was just like, man, I'm in a really good spot. That's like my percentage of like staying off the block next week. If these win HOH, it's pretty good. If I go on the block, I probably will stay with these votes. If I go up against this, or like, depending on who I go up against, I was like, I'll probably stay. Cause I was like, I have this, the connect with Enzo, Bailey, Davon. I have the core four with now Danny and Nicole. That's five. So I was always counting like, so what if I, cause then when Tyler and I were named, I was like, if I go up against Tyler, I have Memphis, who we have our final two. Then those other ones I just mentioned, which was six. I was like, I started to like rack up, like based on my relationships, the kind of votes that I would have. And I was like, I think I'm in a good spot, even if I go on the block next week. So that's what I, more about it was like, not necessarily forming the relationships, forming ones where I wasn't afraid to go up. I just wanted to make sure if I went up, I was staying. And that's the numbers that I wanted to get on my side. And so it was always about that. It was never about worrying about going on the block. It was always worrying about going on the block and going home. And so for me, I just wanted those relationships to be like very serious and like what was going to ride me through the game.
Yeah. And it worked well. The end of week one, there was a weird series of events that played out here. So Janelle and Kacer had mostly, they decided, let's give up on trying to save Keisha because we don't have the numbers. They'd even talked about, like, maybe we should try to work with Cody moving forward. Maybe we can get in there. But a weird thing happened. So Christmas found out that Keisha was going home. Christmas had kind of wanted Keisha to stay, but, you know, probably via the committee, she found out, okay, the votes aren't there. Christmas ends up telling Bailey that Keisha's not staying. Bailey tells Devon, Christmas knows that Keisha is going home. And Devon was like, why does Christmas know? That's not good. Like, why? Who's telling Christmas? Is Cody telling Christmas? He shouldn't be telling Christmas. They shouldn't trust Christmas. So she decides to go to Christmas and say, hey, Christmas, I'm willing to vote to keep Keisha. In order to trick Christmas into thinking that Keisha might have the votes to stay. Christmas goes to Janelle. She says, day's in. We have the votes to keep Keisha. And then that's when Janelle's like, oh, we do. And so Janelle goes to Devon. She's like, you're down. Devon's like, yeah.
And then Devon put that seed in Christmas's head anyway. Like, this is like the aspect of the game where like people just overplay. Like, what's the point? When you're going to do something, if you're just doing it to do it and there's no real purpose there, like I would love to get into some people's heads about that, because like that's something to me, like looking at just like from an outside perspective, like it was like, what's the purpose there? If not trying to blow up, like, I don't know. Oh, that's crazy. See, these are different conversations that I like hearing about after the fact, because now I'm a couple weeks out. So I'm like a little bit detached. So I hear that and I'm just like, what is the purpose? I mean, was she trying to like flip? I don't know.
I think she wanted Christmas to be on the other. Like, she did not trust Christmas. She didn't want you to be telling Christmas things. So she wanted Christmas to be in the dark. But it was very messy. And it caused all this drama. And
it's like, I'm thinking back to that first week now and I'm like, because at Christmas game, and it caused a rift between Devon, because then Janelle was just being honest and being like, well, Devon told me this. And so then it caused an issue, but then it ended up just falling on Janelle, who was doing what Janelle does and is straight up. Like, and so for me, I'm like, that's so funny. It's so funny to hear this stuff, because like even me, like granted, it worked out for me and I get to the end of the game and I win, right? But in that first week, there were so many other people that just were, and I was always projecting it onto Janelle, who I was only projecting it on her because I thought Kacer was giving her stuff and then she was just kind of going around and saying stuff. But come to find out, it's not even close. This is so funny when you hear about stuff and you see it play out. And I'm never somebody to be like, oh yeah, like I'll give credit where credit's due, whether it's, and I'll call out mistakes where mistakes happen. And because I was projecting a lot on Kacer and Janelle when it was just people that I was aligned with. Not, you know, that's funny when you hear that afterwards. It's really funny to know how your projections were a little off, because even in that first week, I'm not surprised, because there's so many people in the house, there's so many conversations happening. It is very tough to really keep track and like be right. And if you are, then you're just a psychic or like, you know, seeing, you know. So that's so funny hearing stuff like that, because it was. Because I thought it was Janelle that was causing it when it was only Devon. She didn't trust Christmas. And then Christmas went, and then they were like, oh, Devon and I settled it. We're good. It's Janelle.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Keisha is evicted unanimously. We go into week 2. Memphis wins the HOH, which I think is a pretty key moment for the committee, because, you know, Tyler and Christmas were not into the committee at all. And the fact that Memphis won it, in fact, Tyler made a tweet, you know, via the DR. He was like, I don't like this group. I don't know how I feel about Memphis.
No, he didn't like Drew. He grew with Memphis, but he also wanted Danny out from the start. That's why I feel like even when alliances form, like if it wasn't for Janelle and Kacer putting a target on their own back, like Tyler would have targeted Danny. I believe that. I don't know if he said in interviews. I haven't even talked to him about it. Like, I feel in my gut he would have targeted Danny after.
Well, so Danny did not like Tyler coming into this. So we had found in the preseason, once we found out that they're both on the season, that she had made a bunch of tweets about him during Big Brother 20 that were pretty negative, right? And so we were like, okay, so Danny does not like Tyler. And does Tyler know about this? Does Tyler know about these tweets? I still don't know for sure. But there was definitely like some weird tension between them, even from the beginning. Danny mentioned to Kacer, like, I didn't think I was going to like Tyler, but I really like Tyler. But she still tried to put a target on him for a while until he started really putting a target on her. And at that point, she was like, no, I trust Tyler.
Yeah, that's why. But I feel like her biggest reason of like trusting Tyler is because like I think she just. She never knew how much he was talking to me and how much him and I were talking about her, or else she would have never trusted Tyler. I was like, all he does is say how grateful he is for you and how you saved him by putting Ian up and all this stuff, which that's like kind of far from what he was really saying. And so, you know, the relationship is just, so this is why the game is so fascinating. And it's just, you know,
And you were also, you were a little worried about Danny because there was a moment where, I mean, Danny kept telling you, like, watch out. People are talking about the guys, you and Tyler. And you would be like, who? She's like, everyone. You'd be like, who? And you were like, it must be her because why isn't she telling us? And it really, it wasn't her. It was Janelle and it was, you know, Davon talked to her about it. And
that's why, like, whenever people do stuff that, like, I could run through, which we'll get to, every single person and where and why it went wrong with me, because all it would have taken would have been her like naming the people, but she was trying to play the game with too many people and protect too many people, in turn causing the person that probably could have had her back a lot more, like to just kind of like cause even a little more rifts on it. It's like, cause like, if I wasn't so bent on Danny and like plugging that with like that, and then say like, it could have been Nicole that just was going home over Danny. Cause like, she's a winner. Mm-hmm. Like Danny was just trying to like protect too many people.
Yeah. You talked to Tyler here in week two about how like the key to dominating this game, what you did in 16, you just get the comp winners together. Like the comps are not the same as they used to be. Yeah. You can be one and you just win the comps.
We did that on 16. I talked about, I don't know the exact statistics, but I would love for somebody to find that out. Like between Frankie, Caleb, Derek and myself, us four that were in the final five together, we had won almost every HOH outside of like, I want to say it was like, I don't know, it might have been two or three. And when it comes down to that scenario, like, you know, you control who's going home because you can control who's on the block. You can control who's off the block and just put you in a better situation.
Yeah, I actually did something like this for some analysis. Big Brother 16 is the season, although I haven't finished this season now that I think about it, but that has the most amount of percentage wins from one alliance. 93% of the competition wins came from one alliance.
Yeah, which was the bomb squad, which still was when the detonators formed, it was still like the bomb squad.
Exactly.
Caleb was still the bomb squad. And other than Amber and then Devin going home, like we were still intact. We should have just included Caleb in the detonators anyways. But it's just when kind of stuff like that happens, the game's going to go your way inevitably, or could. And then, you know, or could not one week, and then, which it didn't, because there were HOHs like where Nicole had won HOHs on 16 and she was outside of it. But then you hope that the relationships that you have kind of save you, which it did on 16.
The rationale.
The rationale, which was probably one of my favorite alliance names.
Yeah, it was a good one.
That fell apart immediately.
Yeah.
And so like, I would have loved that because that to me, like the Hitmen, I love. The rationale, I love. So if the Hitmen and the rationale, like if the rationale was a little earlier, then again, I don't think the season would have went how it went. So.
I mean, I always talk about how you were a very key part of saving, you know, your games there, because Nicole and Hayden had talked about like this Derek guy, he's really smart, he's sketchy. But you were in there and you were like, nah, he's cool. He's cool.
Yeah. It's a game, man. I love Big Brother. It's so good.
All right. So week two, this is when Janelle and Kacer get this sort of renewed suspicion on you guys. And this stems from Nicole Anthony walks in on you, Danny, Tyler, and Nicole Franzel joking around. So she thinks, she thinks, that's it. I figured this is the new Grateful. I've spotted them. It's these four. They're the core four. They think they're trying to get out Christmas. We need to protect Chris. We should go to Christmas. We should warn her. We should go to Memphis and get Memphis to target them. That's all going on there. When Memphis nominates David and Nicole Anthony, Janelle and Case are like, "What are you doing? What this is you this?" And that's when they say it's these four. And you need to backdoor Nicole Franzel. This is when Kacer warns him about the big alliance. And then Memphis lets you know they're coming for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I was like, Memphis, we have the committee. Why are they not on the, why are one of them not on the lock? I was like, put one of them up. You know, do you want to save your relationships? Like, let's get one of them on the block. And that's when in the beginning of the game, something like the aspect of my relationship with Memphis kind of like disconnected. Cause like, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to be in a final two with somebody, for me, it was like, if you were serious about it, if somebody's targeting them, you want to try to target that person. And for me, like, you know, Danny had mentioned Memphis, and Memphis in my final two was like, you know, a thing, but like, I came back into this game with like no serious loyalty. Like I was like, I'll be loyal to you until like I have any kind of reason to not. And so like, I knew that my head was like that. And so I was like, he's kind of trying to play both sides here, because why would you tell us openly? And you know, you and me have a final two, that these people are targeting these four, all four in your alliance, me being your final two, and you don't want to put any of them up. I was like, you're trying to play all sides of it. And it just caused like a disconnect in trust with him. Like the first time, like my first disconnect came right in that second week.
It was so interesting because he makes this alliance, which is such a weird alliance, like let's not talk to each other alliance. Yeah. And then he just blatantly is like, yeah, I'm doing what's best for me. You're not going to convince me to do what I want. And at the time we were like, he's out of his mind. Right. But in a weird way, it kind of works out for him, right? Like he does this. Which kind of sets himself up to have a lot more buffer room, because you guys still have to deal with Kacer and Janelle. And then he is still protected by the committee moving forward, which I found really interesting, because it goes against sort of conventional wisdom. Like, you want to keep your alliance members happy. It did kind of work out for him, though. What do you think?
He went to the final five. It without a doubt worked out for him. Because I think it was like, cause then you had someone like me who it really frustrated, but like, I'm all about the numbers. So from what I took from 16 is numbers are key. Like whenever we were making decisions moving through 16, it was always based on where the numbers were lying and where the numbers were at. And if we blow this up, that causes this alliance to blow up. And how serious are we about this one? Is that really going to be what's protecting us? And so I think he got by because of how well he showed in the competitions early on, which causes a lot of people very early to be like, oh, I don't know, maybe he might win and I just pissed him off. You know, so it worked out for him, because I think when you go HOH veto, you make everybody go, oh, whoa, he's pretty good. And then being that and having relationships with people, you know, I don't know how he kind of skated through that, because they wanted me, Nicole, Danny, Tyler so bad. He didn't listen to them. We wanted them so bad. He didn't listen to us. And then he ended up at the end of the game.
Yeah. It's crazy. he was basically just like, look, I'm going to piss both of you off, but there's nothing you can do about it. Because you guys know that you're both.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think he told them any information about going after them. And so,
which I also think was smart, because that's how you get caught. Right.
Right. And that's where I was like, what is his play? All right. He's trying to play both sides. So for me, I never emotionally like took that as like, now I'm going to target Memphis, because that would have been an emotional decision. I would always take, like, when somebody would do something like that, I'd be like, they're playing the game of Big Brother, noted, and I'm going to find out, and there's going to be a reason why I'm going to end up targeting them, and this is going to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And I would never just go off an emotional, because like, that could have pissed me off to a point where like, in the second week, it would have been like, dude, like, Memphis is trying to play both sides. Like, when that veto got won, we could have really like, went after that, or Danny, who we felt was kind of playing both sides. And then it's like, that just seems like emotional when like, you're just noting people playing both sides. And I think you need to keep that in mind, because as long as you're not the person being viewed as like, oh, they're trying to play you against you or you against you, and you're just kind of like in, you know, that's how I always like viewed everything and like kind of progressed my game each week, was like, all right, I see Memphis is trying to play both sides. He's not really benefiting me. It's showing that he really cares more about himself, but hey, this is Big Brother. We all care more about ourselves. So he's not like directly like getting me to go home, but it could indirectly be hurting my game. So let me just take note of that, and we'll see how next week plays out. That's how I always would take this information and not let something like cause me to just get like gung-ho and make me want to go after somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is when the Connect Four, it eventually becomes a Slick Six, but it really starts to deteriorate here. In part, there's a few things that are going on here. The one is that you're finding out that Janelle and Case are like very actively targeting you. Yeah. And you're like, hold on, Bailey's close with Janelle. Danny's close with Janelle. How come I'm not hearing it from them? How come I'm hearing it from Christmas and Memphis? Christmas.
Yeah. That was my biggest thing, is I was like, you guys right there, you wanted to have a relationship and you're playing yourself. You're playing yourselves, because we're supposed to be tight. When you're tight with somebody, you give them information. And I know that because the people that I was tight with, I would be telling information to. And the people that I knew could maybe hurt, I wasn't telling information to. Like, and so for me, it's clear when stuff like that is happening, there's people that you trust more, or maybe not necessarily trust more, but know could be better for your game over people that you wanted to trust more. And that unfortunately became Danny, Bailey, Davon versus someone like Christmas and Memphis, who were like, I don't know. You kind of guys are not Christmas at all. I thought Christmas, I didn't think I ever need to speak to Christmas. She showed me very early on, we're going to be loyal. I know you're going to be loyal to me out of principle. And then you might, like, if I don't give you a reason to target me, 'cause I don't mention you, I don't think you're going to target me. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of picked that up on that with Christmas. And then she was giving me this information, and it kind of made me feel like, you guys can say whatever you want about Christmas to me, I'm not targeting her. And so it kind of put the target on who they really wanted it to be on, like on themselves. Like, they wanted the target on Christmas and it was just going on themselves. And so
one of my favorite lines early on was like day one or two, you're talking to Tyler. I think it was two. You were talking to Tyler about Christmas and how she kind of makes you a little nervous. And he was like, dude, we don't need to worry about Christmas. She named her baby Loyal. Like, we're going to be good.
Yes. He did say that to me. I remember that. Oh my God. So
and of
funny.
Course that's, he has a secret final two deal with her already. Right. So,
And so I'm like, okay. But it was a very good point, and he used the right things, because honestly, I don't know until the end of the game that Christmas was ever mentioning me as somebody she wanted to target.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was a good play by him, but it was just like, it also made me realize like Christmas is pretty serious and about this committee. And for me, it was just the committee, and she's loyal to this and I'm in this. So I don't need to worry about it. And let me just not, because she's giving me information that people who are apparently supposed to be close to the ones talking about me are not. And so it kind of made me trust Christmas, even though I had way better of a relationship, like personally with Bailey. When Bailey wasn't telling me stuff that Janelle was saying and I was hearing it from Christmas, I was like, this is weird.
So another thing that was going on here is that when Danny heard that Janelle was saying her name, your name, Nicole and Tyler, she was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to propose a deal to Janelle. And Nicole was like, that's not a good idea. And she did it anyway.
Made them solidify the fact that we were working together.
Exactly. So Janelle
mentioned it to them. Why she would do that, I don't know. But whatever.
Yeah. She, from what we understand, she had a preseason deal with Janelle that they would like watch each other. And Janelle talked about like she would never go after Danny in the game because of that. So I think Danny kind of like in some ways overestimated her pull with Janelle. But then in some other ways, like she didn't fully like utilize that connection. Janelle then goes to Bailey and Davon and says, hey, Danny proposed this thing for me. Day and Bailey now feel like they are the second choice, that you're more with Danny and Nicole. Bailey even questions you about that. She's like, who are you really with the most? Do you have this alliance with Janelle? But they're getting nervous about that. And Devon, yes. Did I break up?
Okay. Yeah, just a second. My internet connection is unstable. Classic.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. So Devon comes up with this idea that she wants to test Danny. And so she proposes an alliance to Tyler, and she goes to Nicole, and she goes to Danny. She tells Danny that Tyler wanted to do it. And then Danny thinks Tyler's trying to snake her when he says it wasn't him, it was Day. There's a bunch of drama there. And just in general, the trust here is eroding rapidly with you and all, everyone, you know, Bailey, Devon, this whole group.
Yeah. That right there in itself explains why it was eroding. Because when you don't have trust, hold on to that and wait to find out, like, when it really, really presents itself. Always be aware of it, but wait till it really presents itself where now it's like, I'm going to target you for this reason. To throw a test out there to see what happens only caused, like, a bunch of nonsense. And then it was like, it always is funny that it was projected, like, on the wrong, like, Tyler projected it on Danny when it was really Devon. I projected on Janelle when it was really Devon. And now it's like, Devon was just going and like dropping seeds to people that was causing everybody to go after each other. And then it was causing Tyler to then go to Bailey and then tell you, is Danny trying to get you to target us when they weren't? It's just.
There's another thing here. Devon is going to ask David. So, Kacer comes up with this idea. David's with the guys. That's a reason to get out David, right? So Kacer tells Devon, hey, watch out. You think you can trust David, but he's working with the guys. So Devon goes to David. She says, all right, David, are you working with some guys? Are you in a guys alliance?
Keep cutting in and out.
Are you okay. Able to get closer to your router?
I'm literally next to my
router. You're next to it?
Hold on, I'm messing up this. We have all things all over the house. This house is like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I need like a direct plug, which my Mac doesn't even have because nobody uses internet cables anymore.
You know, I actually have, it's an adapter. Oh, hold on. Where'd it go? I can't show you, I guess. I have like an adapter for laptops because that's what you have to do with podcasting. Yes. Yeah. All right. What I was saying was, Kacer goes to Devon, says, right. Hey, David's working with the guys. That's why we should get out David. Devon asks David, are you working with the guys? And David says, yes, I am in a guys alliance. And we were like, what? Because he wasn't even really in a guys alliance. But he tells that to Devon. And so then Devon's like, okay. Whoa, who's in it? And he's like, I'd rather not say it this time. And so she's like, so I can't trust you at all. So then she goes to Bailey. She's like, I mean, and Bailey's already like, maybe we should get out David. And then they talk to Janelle and Christmas and Kacer about flipping the votes. And that's when, you know, then Devon tells Kevin about it. And Kevin tells Danny and Bailey tells and Christmas tells you guys. And that's like this whole vote flipping situation. And that's when you kind of come together. You're like, all right, we need to form this slick six thing. But it's very.
It was Danny's idea. I wanted absolutely no part of that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm already in an alliance with Tyler and you. I have Enzo. We're in the connect. Like, now we got to link these two together. This is an absolute nightmare. But I was like, sure, let's appease everybody here.
Yeah. So a very, very messy situation. And this is going to come back to haunt you a little bit.
Yeah, we mocked that by the end of the game. We were like, we came to grips with how messy the beginning of the game was.
So this is also when you kind of you formalize your trio with Tyler and Enzo. You haven't called it triple threat yet, but Enzo does. You know, Tyler's the bandit, the green eyed bandit. Yeah. Cody, Yuzuko, I'm the meow meow. You ready to go?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Zuko, baby. I got the dimp chin.
The Kacer and Janelle have like this big meeting again, trying to flip the vote. And as soon as they leave, like everyone's like, nah, even Nicole Anthony, who's like, yeah, I don't even trust them. And so Bailey's going to tell Christmas that she wants to target big players. Christmas is going to kind of interpret this like, oh, she might be coming after Cody. And Nicole's going to start to work on Christmas pretty soon, that she wants Christmas to go after Bailey. And then she also tells you that you need to pull in Ian, which you then form four prime. Because Kacer has been working on Ian, saying like, hey, there's a brigade and you're the Brittany. And Ian's like, oh no.
Yeah.
So lots of stuff going on there.
Yeah. Lot going on there. A lot of stuff going on there.
But, and so it seemed like this is probably the week that we were the lowest on your game, because it seemed like the structure that you had built might be collapsing, but you somehow come out of this and it's still okay. And Tyler wins the next HOH. He targets Janelle and Kacer, and it's like, okay, you've got the slick six now. You're starting to like reel things back in.
Yeah. I think that's because in that week, if Tyler doesn't win that HOH and it doesn't become so clear that like Janelle and Kacer are this big thing, which they weren't, it was obviously so much more going on with people that we were a little closer to. It could have been a little shaky. And so I think Tyler winning that and then throwing them right on the block is what like kind of reeled it all back in, kept people in the slick six off the block. That's when we started to have those conversations. Like, we heard there was an all guy alliance, and then the name started coming up and we were like, well, what do you mean the all guy alliance? Like, I can't even remember if that was the third or the fourth week, but it was like this all guy alliance that is us essentially, that is your alliance, like other than one other person. I don't know. I think it was that week or it might've been the week after.
Enzo has a great line where he's like, they keep complaining about like, this guy's alliance, yo. But I just want to tell him, you're in it.
Yeah.
You're in the guy's alliance.
Yeah. It was all guy's alliance. It was like, you're in it. Like, why are we so bent out of shape about it? And David was never going to go after them. And so it was like, What are we doing here? It got so messy.
So Kacer and Janelle are on the block. Nicole lets you know that she's now found out from Christmas that Bailey talked about potentially targeting you. So you have more reason now to not trust Bailey. Yeah. And then we get into more David drama. Yeah. Danny wants to like really twist the knife with David. She's like, hey, I'm letting you know, like somebody really wanted you out that week. And it's somebody that you trust. And so David questions Bailey about it, who talks to Devon. They have a meeting and they question David, who told you that Devon campaigned against you? And he goes, Cody and Tyler. Yeah. Then he goes, it's this big mess. Devon questions you the next morning. I thought this was great from you because you had no prep time. Tyler was warned by David and he didn't even find out that you were involved. But Devon comes and questions you. And what's going through your head?
So even when I was having the conversation with David the day before, I would always try to like have conversations and prepare for like if something went south, like if this goes south, am I prepared to like create a bullshit line that could blow up on them or possibly blow up in my face? There was so much more to the conversation that David and I had. And so then when she confronted me and said, David said this, I was like, well, there was all this in the conversation. Did he mention any of this? And I just kind of like was like, oh, if he wants to do that, I'm going to do this. Like, and he's the one that said this to me. So like, what does he mean? Like, I never said this. I said all of this, like, and just gave her a lot more to think about. And like kind of just talked my way through it. And I think essentially it caused her to maybe it just all I needed was like a little seed of doubt to be in her head, because essentially it just showed me, OK, speak zero conversations to David. Doesn't matter how much you like him, how much you want to work with him. He gets zero information from you now, period. And now he's on an island on his own. And so it kind of was like for me, it was like, oh, let me just solidify my relationship with Devon. David is now nixed. I have this alliance with Devon. Now I'm just going to leave David on the outskirts. Like he's beat. I'll target him next week if I win HOH. If I would have won the HOH, I would have put him on the block if I would have won that next HOH. Because he did that. Kacer was still in the house. And I would have been like, good, David and Case are going on a block. It gave Davon what she wanted to hear, because I told her that at the end of that week, I will go after David because she wanted David. And it still allowed me to really go after Kacer because that's who I really wanted. And so it would have been like, I'm going after Kacer, but if that's not the case, let's go after David. And so it kind of like, because Davon always just wanted to be like, she wanted to be told what she wanted to hear, essentially. Mm-hmm. And if all you could do with Davon is that and correctly answer her fact checks, it was going to kind of give you that little buffer period with Davon.
The thing that sells it to Davon is that you told Davon that David said Davon's worried about a guy's alliance. So from her perspective, yeah, she's like, David's the one that told me about a guy's alliance. Yeah. Now he's trying to flip it on me, say that right. I was the one concerned about it. And so
being straight up what he said and him playing himself. Mm-hmm. And like, so like, it's just class.
It's at this point that you talk to like Enzo and Tyler, you kind of compare notes. Like Danny was part of this too, but she somehow, her name's not being brought up. What's going on with this whole Danny thing?
Right. Exactly. And so like, that's what really made Tyler and I both be like, is she just planting seeds around the house and having conversations with people and then bringing it to other people to let them go and have conversations and then have it blow up in their face? And so for me, it just made it seem like, is this kind of the game that she's playing? Because then stuff was making me concerned early on about how she would mention these people are saying it, everybody, all the whole house, blah, 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 blah. Then we get into the next week where she's kind of just still going throughout the house. And the third week is when I had this conversation with David and it kind of blew up. And so that's when I was like, okay, this has been enough where like, I feel like Danny's saying a lot of things where it's just kind of making me very skeptical and making me feel like she's kind of the one going around doing things to like kind of plant the seeds in people's heads.
Yeah. And so this is kind of like, in some ways, I think, you let the cat out of the bag a little bit here because Tyler's really going to take this and run with it the following week. Right. And he's going to kind of like take this whole like anti-Danny sentiment. He's going to be like, thanks for the pass. Now I'm going to run this to the end zone. And you're going to be like, well, hold on. I didn't want it to go that far.
Yeah. Right. And that's where like, it was like, I wanted to like kind of keep it there because I was like, you know, like this alliance, I feel like Danny's trying to get the alliance to like maybe implode on each other, set herself up for when the alliance does implode. But I didn't want to be the reason why the alliance imploded because I wanted the alliance to stay together. And so when he starts really like ramping it up and like talking to Enzo about it that next week, I'm like, well, hold on. I'm like, I wanted to make sure that Enzo knew like, dude, don't blow up numbers that, because like, although Danny was doing things, I always wanted to make sure we were targeting people that I think would target us. And I never thought Danny would do that. Mm-hmm. And so even though the game that Danny was playing was a little bit reckless and I was like, what is she dropping all these hints about? I would have never targeted her. That would have never been something I did, but I was still ready to like make sure that somebody else could, because if I wasn't going to target her, I would need somebody else to do it because I felt like it would have just blown me up if I did it. Cause there was so much information that her and I talked about, even in those first 3 weeks, that if she felt betrayed by me, she could have blew it up to way too many people that would have ruined my game.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to make sure, like, if stuff was going wrong, I would have never wanted to have been by somebody like Enzo, who would have directly came right on my head. She would have felt betrayed by me. And then it could have blown me up because then she could have spread out information about different conversations her and I talked about.
Yeah. And this felt like the week where like, it seemed like Tyler was in a way backing you into a corner because he had really gotten Enzo on his side. And I could see you like, yeah, I hear that, Enzo, but I mean, Tyler kind of screwed us on this. Don't you think? Yeah. Like he went and told Davon and Bailey about it. Like, I mean, do we really want to go after Danny? What about Davon? But Enzo was just like, nah, yo, it's gotta be Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, which that's why like my whole thing was like, dude, there's a lot of other people playing very like sloppy. And it's like, because I could tell at that point, it was like gung ho. Like every time I'd have a conversation with somebody, I would always have to say this in the DR. I'd be like, when I would talk to Tyler, I knew in order for Tyler to feel trust with me, I would have to talk about Danny. Mm-hmm. And so I would always do that with different people. But whenever I was with Enzo, it's always when I was pretty straight up, because I never had that filter with Enzo. So even when I would have conversations with Danny and I would like gas up, like, yeah, I'll go after Tyler in the double. There was like so many other people that I would have went after. And I would have ended up like flipping that, like when it came time to do it. But it was like, Enzo was the one who I was always so like straight up with. And so like, whenever I had conversations with Enzo, it kind of, if you were paying, which nobody knew this because I was never really speaking to the feeds. Like, that's when you really got my like straight up thought process, because it was like, dude, I know Tyler wants this, but Danny's not coming after you. Why are you going to target somebody that's going after you? Like, just leave her alone for now. She's never putting you on the block. And it's like, Kacer has got to be the one that goes home this week because he's targeting me. So we had to always stay. I always wanted it to like align up with like who I think would be worst for me staying in the house. And that week, like, even though Danny had been doing a lot that caused distrust, she still wasn't like somebody that was targeting me. And so I didn't want Enzo to kind of flip on that, which Ian was one that I felt the same way about until something happened on the season. And then it made me feel like Ian was not a person that I could trust. And it all happened in that fourth week.
Yeah.
It all happened in that fourth week.
And I talked a lot about this week. Like this to me was like the biggest test that you had up until that point, and maybe one of the biggest tests that you had in the season, where you were kind of put in this corner and you were kind of like in a spot where you were trying to do some things. And it was a matter of like, is he going to lose control? Is he going to freak out and panic and mess things up? Or can he keep his calm and can he get things back on track? And I was pretty impressed with how you managed to do that. You go to Nicole and you kind of give her the heads up about it in case this comes out. Now you've got Nicole warned and she's with you on it. You go to Enzo and you tell him about the committee.
When all that stuff was blowing up, I was like, I need to pull some, like, I just felt it. I was like, this is getting messy. I could either blow myself up, because then if stuff comes to Enzo, he may end up knowing a lot of information and spew stuff out. Like, I want Enzo to know this. Like, I went to Memphis and started like saying stuff like, I think there's stuff going on with Tyler. Like, I don't really know like what's going on. I didn't fully disclose all the information. And I waited until the fifth week to still kind of play dumb with Memphis and be like, I don't know. I think stuff's going on, man. Like, there's stuff happening here, even though I knew everything that was happening with like the whole blow up. But yeah, that fourth week, it's when the messy gameplay, because the Janelle and the Kacer seemed to have been the ones that were going. And now that messy gameplay was starting to like blow up, because now it was a lot of people that we were very close with, or I was very close with. It's like, who's going to be next? You know? Mm-hmm. So it was definitely, that was a big point in the game, especially after the start of the HOH competition.
Were you nervous telling Enzo about the committee, like what, how he was going to react?
No, the only reason why I did is because I knew him and I would joke about all these alliances and blah, 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 and all this stuff that had formed and all this different stuff, and how he would always be like, and I'm forming these other alliances. And so I knew he would handle it, or I didn't know, because you never know 100%, but I felt that he would handle it like, wow, this is my guy. He just told me his whole game. And that's exactly how he took it. So it couldn't have worked out better. Obviously, there's no way of me knowing it, but you make calculated decisions in the house, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. It's just kind of how you know, you're always calling audibles. I said this once in the DR, I was like, I feel like I have to call an audible every single week, because there's always something that changes. And I felt like I equated it to like being a coach. Like, if you can't adjust and call an audible when like a team is doing something that's not working for you, you're always going to lose. And so in that fourth week is when I felt like, all right, I need to like audible here. Like, something, stuff is kind of falling apart. Like, I wanted to talk to Nicole about Ian and Danny. I wanted to tell Enzo about the committee, and I wanted to make sure that like I was in good with Tyler. And if it was going to blow up on somebody, it was going to be Danny next week. Mm-hmm. That kind of, like, the week five was a whole another audible that I had to play, because it blew up elsewhere. And then Danny found out all the information. It just was,
yeah. Well, you mentioned this, that you know, Ian overheard some yelling, and then that's when he sort of had a revelation that I don't know if you heard him describe it this way. He said, it's like an octopus. It's got Cody and Nicole at the head, and they've got tentacles that are like they're fighting each other. They're having the tentacles fight each other.
I did not hear that. That's pretty interesting.
And so he tells Kevin about it. And Kevin's like not really entirely sure what to make of it. He tells Bailey about it, who tells Tyler and Enzo, who tell you, you tell Nicole. We actually didn't see a lot of the confrontation about this with Ian because it happened before the feeds came back up after the HOH competition. What was that conversation?
So I went to Nicole and I said, Ian is blowing up everybody's game. Ian is getting chaotic. He's running around to a lot of people, because when Bailey told it to me, I knew like, this is not nonsense. Like Bailey said that, Bailey told me straight up, like when Christmas said about the conversation, Bailey told me about that conversation she had with Christmas. She told me about the conversation she had with Kacer. And then she told me about the conversation she had with Ian. So Bailey told me all this information. And so I was like, whoa. But I felt at that point, the trust with Bailey was already gone. And I felt like, Bailey, you just lost everybody. So now obviously you're telling me information, because now you're like, well, you're who I feel closest with too behind Enzo. Cause like, I felt like I was like someone that she was really close with behind Enzo. I felt like she was the closest with from the connect. And so I was like, okay. And so I took that to Nicole and I was like, Ian is sabotaging everything. Whatever happened this past week, he has taken to heart. You cannot trust him. He's blowing up your game and it's always going to be in his head now. And she wanted to like, you know, she was like, no, I don't think blah, blah, blah. And she got so pissed. She confronted Ian. I don't know exactly how that conversation went, but she confronted him. He said, I am so sorry, blah, blah, blah. I'm loyal to you. I messed up. And then we go into the week five HOH. And then you kind of see how that plays out. But the week five HOH, that was the first time when Kevin picked me that emotions hit me and got the best of me in the game. Cause I was very angry at that moment, because it was a combination of something that happened in the fourth week, the Kacer thing, which he named essentially everything, which it was like, okay, you think you're right because you just heard something.
That was, I don't know if you... So Ian was like, I need this to get out. Ian approached Kacer. He was like, will you please essentially call these people out for me? So that, cause I can't be the one to do it. You're on your way out. Will you please do this? And like, it was Ian. It was Kevin. It was like, everybody was asking Kacer, will you do this for us on your way out? And he was like, why do I have to do this for you? Like, you're not voting for me to stay, but he did it anyway.
Yeah. And he essentially named me along with everybody else, David, Memphis, Enzo, Tyler, Nicole, Danny. I was like, okay. But then again, all it did was make me be like, I don't trust you guys, because what Ian was doing in the third and the fourth week that made me not trust him. And then this was the final straw, was Tyler won the HOH. Ian came to me after Tyler won the HOH and was like, Janelle and Kacer said they were going to put you and Tyler on the block. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, huh, nice that you came to me after Tyler won the HOH. That's a good time for you to come to me, Ian. Then Enzo won the HOH. So like, I noted that. I was like, okay, like, yeah, Ian, great. And I kept saying this to Nicole and Danny. I was like, I think I said it mostly to Danny. I was like, Ian came to me late. That's a weird time to come after Tyler won the HOH, which it's obvious now that Tyler and I are growing and getting closer. Then he did it with Enzo. And that's when I was like, I don't trust Ian. And I said it to Danny. I was like, I'm going to target Ian. Like, he's who I'm going to go after, because it's clear that he was trying to, like, if you're going to plant the seeds, you can't be obvious that you're planting seeds. And what he was doing was so obvious that he was trying to make me, he was like, oh, and I talked to Kacer right before the HOH and he said he was going to put you up. And I was like, oh, now that Enzo won the HOH, that's when the information is going to come to me. And then when at the end of the week, all this started coming to me about what Ian was saying, I was like, done. Like, I don't even know. In that fifth week, it would have probably been a decision for me to like put Ian up. But then when I picked Davon and I did something so based off emotion, I got to pivot and like, I want no part of this. I was like, let me try to let my social aspect of this game get out of it. Because if I win this HOH, I could put myself in a very bad position. And so like, I panicked. And so then I was like, damage control, like hit an answer, get to the sideline. And like, I started like running through my brain. I was like racking myself. I was like, how am I going to get out of this? Okay. I need to get after Davon, because she was glaring at me. I was like, Davon's the first one I got to go to. I need to make sure I can like settle things with Davon because everything is starting to like, I really felt like in that fifth week, everything was starting to like really, I was like, uh-oh, this could start falling apart for me.
Yeah.
And Christmas wins the HOH. She stays loyal to the committee and it's just, it's part of the game. That's how the game goes. There's so many aspects of this game where in a week, something could go one way if a certain person wins or something could go another way. And I felt like in that week, if Davon ends up winning that HOH, it's going to be a combination of Danny Tyler and myself. Cause that's where like it was all stemming from that week before.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been a combination of us. On the block.
Well, Tyler had done a lot of work with Day and Bay about Danny. Right. And Enzo was talking to them too. Enzo was like, yeah, we got to take out Danny and Nicole and then we'll force Cody to be with us. At that point, I think they would have gone, Day wouldn't have put up Nicole, but she would have done like Danny, maybe you with Danny, but Danny would have been the target.
That's what I felt like was coming from her. I think Bailey would have put up Nicole.
Yeah.
But still in any of those scenarios, like that could put me on the block and somebody winning the veto, that's the target. And then the next biggest one goes home.
Yep.
And then in that week, you know, when all that stuff on Christmas, like I'm going to put up Bailey and Davon. I was like, perfect. One alliance, putting up two other alliance members. Like they need to stay on the block because this needs to get clipped. And it was Bailey saying to me after the whole thing happened, it was like the next day, Bailey was like, she was almost like confiding and being straight up with me, but it was like the wrong stuff to say. It was like, you're not going to be someone that people want to sit next to. Everybody knows you're playing with the whole house. Like you're playing a very strong game, this, and this. And I was like, I don't want anybody hearing that. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want another person in this house hearing that. And so like, for me, it was just like,
Nicole telling Derek that he's playing a Dan game.
It was like, I was like, what? I was like, nobody wants to sit next to me in the final two. Like, that's like, i.e., you're going to be targeted. I don't want other people hearing that. And so, you know, that kind of is where like that week happened. And then I really personally, again, that was like a game because I was like, personally, I really want Bailey because I felt like Bailey wouldn't have targeted me. And Davon, I didn't like that she had this whole thing with Nicole of like, I'm not putting her on the block. And Bailey was willing to do that. And so like, I was like, all right, well, if Bailey's willing to put Nicole up, like I'll never put Nicole up. So if Bailey's willing to do that, like that's how a lot of times I was kind of like wanting to make decisions. But then when Bailey said that to me, I was like, I can't really fight for this one. And it seemed like, because at the end of the day, I always talked about it at the end of the game when it was just Enzo and I, in that week, like Nicole and Danny were pushing hard to keep Davon. And I was like, huh? Because if we really wanted to, like, Tyler and I were getting like even closer at that point. And if we wanted Bailey to stay, like Bailey would have stayed. Mm-hmm. Cause like I could have went to Memphis. Tyler would have went to Christmas. Like Enzo would have been us. We had the numbers to really make it work. Like Nicole only really had, cause Kevin would have wanted Davon to stay, but David was tighter with Bailey. Like we had the numbers to like really keep who we wanted. But like that week when Bailey said that to me, I was just like, I was like, I don't know about this. This is like, but then like Enzo was like, which one is it really? Like, which one do we have to keep? And I would have to like hold up a conversation. I felt like I was just full of shit about 90% of the time. I was like, well, how do I have to talk to Enzo? How do I have to talk to Tyler? How do I have to talk to Danny? How do I have to talk to Nicole? Do I even want to talk to Ian? Like, let me just have this conversation to connect with him. It was like, I don't have to say so much bullshit to so many people because it was just like, how do I make Enzo want when all I talk about is how tight I am with Bailey?
Mm-hmm.
Like, understand why I don't want Bailey to stay. So it was always just like kind of letting other people talk and just piggybacking off of what they were saying.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Bailey, like I couldn't, I was like, Bailey, like is literally telling me that I'm like the person that nobody wants to go to the end with. Why would I want someone like that in the house?
Mm-hmm. This to me was probably like Enzo and Tyler's like their biggest missed opportunity because they were both tight with Christmas. They had both been working on Christmas to get her to be anti Danny. And mm-hmm. Christmas has a conversation with Tyler after she wins where she's like, I could go after Danny or I could go after Bailey and Davon. And Tyler kind of is just like, either way. And And Enzo, I talked to him on finale night, and I asked him about this particular moment. And he was just like, yeah, I didn't feel like I could push it. I didn't feel like I could push it because I wasn't sure I could trust Christmas. And I do feel like she was open to targeting Danny. And if she targets Danny this week instead of Bailey and Devon, then that puts you in not as powerful a position where Tyler and Enzo now have much more agency.
Yeah. It would have been very bad in that week. But I think because of Tyler's blow up, I think a lot got into Tyler's head because he blew himself up essentially. That really like bothered me when he did that and linked my name, because I'd already had this situation with Devon and David earlier. And now I'm like, there's another thing with Devon that you're going to give me. And now Devon is, and then everybody was telling me, like, Bailey would come to me and be like, you really need to go and talk to Devon. She feels like you don't talk to her enough. And I was like, you just gave her so much reasoning to like do it. It made me like have a step back, and I had to like reevaluate all of my relationships in that fifth week, because there was a lot that kind of happened that caused things for me to like get shaken up, and like the dust like just went up, and I was like, how do I reevaluate this? I need to reposition and adjust in this week. And for me, it was somebody from one of my lines. It was Devon and Bailey went up on the block. I was like, one of them need to go home. It was Bailey. And I was like, and now I need to readjust and see like how the next week plays out. And I think that next week is where it kind of settled back in my favor, because I didn't win that HOH and it caused Danny to really expose herself.
Yeah.
So, you know, week four was good because people, but like week five is where everything to me, I felt like breaking point was end of week four. Oh, no, blow up was end of week four. Like chaos was in week five, dust settled into week six. And then is when I really just got back into like, okay, reevaluated my relationship, saw where everything was going, and like knew the direction I needed to be in.
Mm-hmm. And you have Danny and Nicole both telling you about this, you know, women's alliance that formed, but was basically done within 5 minutes. You're telling Nicole at this point, she's telling you that she'd happily take second place to you. And you're like, same. That's what I did with Derek.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all those conversations to me were so like, I don't know, fraud, I guess I could say. I'd be like, oh, you're going to beat me. And I'd be like, I was like, nobody feels that way. I was like, nobody really feels like they're getting second or getting this. Cause like, even when I was sitting there before the finale, I was like, oh, maybe I could win. Like, you know, I was going through the votes. And so like, and that wasn't even till the end of the game. Like the end of the game is when I finally was like final three, like going through the votes. Like you don't know that early on who's going to be the person at the end that's going to do well. That's why I didn't like when Bailey was saying it to me before we had even made it to jury, because the people that were making the votes hadn't even gone home yet. And so why are these things being said? And something was said to me like, well, maybe like you're just playing with a lot of better players and they see quality. And I was like, I don't believe that. I was like, I think that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. But, and so like, I just was like, why are people saying this kind of stuff? It just seemed like for me, I don't know, a little weird.
So Danny finds out, of course, that you kind of knew about this Tyler stuff. You have to do some major damage control.
I don't want my name involved at all. Because I wanted to have the conversations with him to like ramp him up about Danny, but I didn't want to be the person involved about it, because I knew because of my relationships with Danny, if my name is involved and I didn't tell her, I am going to be in serious trouble with her because it's going to break trust. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was really tough having that conversation with Danny. I was as surprised that I got out of that one as I was like, just to get through like that whole early aspect of the game.
Yeah, you really shouldn't have gotten out of that one.
Yeah, I was as surprised to get out of it because honestly, like I was trying to get David to not trust Devon when I told him that information about her, but he gave me enough stuff to like kind of like turn it back on him. And then with Danny, it was tough. Just getting out of that was a scramble. That was like quarterback drops back, gets a bum rush in his face and has to scramble for whatever he can get. Any yardage, that's not a loss. And so that's all that was with Danny. And honestly, it turned out because I feel like because of the trust and the relationship that we had, it allowed me to pivot and put it on more on Tyler. Mm-hmm. And like, Davon and Bailey, like, you know, that whole thing. And it just, I don't know. I just skated out of that one.
What did you make of Tyler trying to quit here when you found out?
I think a lot was going into it. I thought it was like, you know, we're getting the jury and jury's like, this is what everybody would talk about. I either want to go home before jury or I want to go to the end. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? I was like, did we not come here to like win 500,000? Like, I want to win, you know? And so like, I think that a lot of things, it was like the realization of like, uh-oh, I'm going to be here for a while. Combined with like, I feel like he felt like his game got blown up and wanted to like, you know, have different things going on in the house. And, you know, I don't know. I just was like, why are we quitting here? Like, what's going on? I don't know.
Did it impact like how you saw yourself working with him moving forward?
Yeah, big time. I was like, not the quitting aspect, the blow up aspect and the sloppy play that led to this whole thing happening. Mm-hmm. Made me be like, oh, I don't know. This is, man. And I love, at this point, I like love Tyler. Like we were buddies. And so I was like, man, this is kind of making me reevaluate. Like, is he going to be good for my game? Cause him doing something like this is not good for my game. So is he going to be someone that's good for my game? I'm not really sure. And so it wasn't necessarily the aspect of like, you know, leaving the house. Whereas the stuff in the game that I felt like led up to the breaking point was what was really making me base my decision on like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be a shaky relationship moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So we then get Danny starts talking about like her ideal final six. And you end up comparing notes with Nicole at the end of this week. And This to me was like the real start of like you and Nicole really breaking free of Danny. For Nicole, this was when she drops Danny completely for you. And then it seems like the following week after you get Ian out, that's when you really start like trusting Nicole even more. But this conversation in particular is when you break her away from Danny.
Yeah, because I think I tell her something about the final two that Danny came to me about, which was a little bit fabricated. It was like, Danny and I having a conversation jokingly being like, well, we're going to end up in the final two anyways. And so I could tell that there was always like a weird, like, oh, I think Danny trusts you more and is more loyal to you. And I could tell that. And then all of a sudden, like Nicole started saying stuff and I was like, well, and then she asked me like, does Danny have a final two with you? And I saw that as a perfect opportunity to be like, yeah. Like, yeah, she came to me too. Like she's trying to play the both of us and like kind of pin that on her. And essentially it just made Nicole kind of like wash her hands of Danny and like be the person that I think Nicole was 100% loyal to all the way to the end, where I think Nicole was navigating the game the same way all of us were, like making your final, like she had her final twos with Ian, with me, with Danny, with Christmas, like going throughout the house. And essentially like this kind of like clipped, it just put me one step higher on the pecking order with her. And that's what this is really about. Like you want to be high up on as many people's pecking order as possible so that if they win, like you're not someone they go after. Even if that's like there's eight people, like you never want to be outside of like someone's like top three or top four, or else you could end up being a target at any point.
Yeah. A big thing for her too was that that Danny had come to you about the Women's Alliance before she did. And she's like, why is she doing this to me?
Yeah. And that's why I don't know. I can't remember if I brought that up. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I mentioned that to Nicole, like on my own, because then I could tell. Well, honestly, it was because Nicole started telling me stuff that Danny was saying to her and it started putting me in a bad spot because I wasn't telling Nicole it. Mm-hmm. So then Danny started telling me stuff and I would feed it to Nicole right away.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, see what Danny's doing? Like, because Danny was doing it to me. So I was like, nope, now I'm going to do it to you. Now I'm going to let Nicole know all this stuff that you're saying to me first. And now I'm going to let Nicole feel whatever type of way she wants to feel about it.
Yeah.
So I would just take a lot of stuff that people would do. And I would just kind of like, be like, you know what? Here you go. I'll put it right back to you.
So then you and Nicole throw the HOH to Danny. And
I was giving that to whichever one of them. I wouldn't have cared which one of them won it, but I was like, I've been up here for a while. I proved that I can do this like to myself, because it was really about like, I want to know that I can do this endurance, but I was like, okay, these two need to win. And I know they want me to win it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't want to be doing this week. I was like, I want no part of this HOH.
Yeah. I wonder what if you were all jumped off at the same time. Is it whoever lands last, yeah. do you think?
Whoever's body touches the mat last.
There you go.
Interesting. So whoever's body touched the mat last would have been the HOH. And so that's when I was like sitting, I was like, the one tilt happened, Tyler fell. I didn't realize Tyler fell because if I would have saw him fall out of my peripherals, I would have went right down. And so like he fell and then the wall started like tilting back and I was like, oh man, I need to go on this next tilt. And so when it tilted again, I was like, I started to do the whole like shaking the arms. And then Nicole went, I was like, oh shit, fuck it, whatever. I was like, oh man, I need to go. I was like, she's down. I can't wait up here to have another conversation. Cause Danny also sounded like she was like hurting a little bit. So I was like, I'm down. And so, but I was a little nervous. I was like, oh man, did that look bad? Like I went right after Nicole.
Yeah. But I thought you did a pretty good acting. I wasn't sure that you threw it right away because of the shaking that you had done.
Yeah. Yeah. Because here's the thing is like, there were ways that I could move my arm that would stop me from like doing the shaking. Mm-hmm. And so like, and I could readjust and like do different things. But like there, I was just like, my fingers were letting my fingers slip and my arm was shaking. And when it's like, when you're shivering, like, and you can either like hold it and freeze and you stop shivering, or you could like really give into it. And then you compulsively are shivering like crazy. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm going to play this up. I need to go down. I was like, I have to start like, you know, my arms are shaking like up. Oh, Nicole went, there you go. I'm out. Because in the beginning, I didn't go into that competition to throw it. Mm-hmm. I realized about halfway through, okay, everybody's down. I know I'm good with these ones. I don't want this HOH at all. And that's what I think when it comes to HOHs, that's how you need to decide. Like there's points where Enzo like knew, oh, I have to throw it. I'm not going up. But like for me, there were aspects of the game where I was like, there were people in the game that I was like, okay, these people, if they win, I could be in trouble. So like, I'll only throw it once these people are done. And then when that was happening, that's when I was willing to throw that competition. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, this is really the week where like, it's really from this week, the dominoes just fall, but you still have some work to do this week because right away, of course, Danny wants to backdoor Tyler.
Yeah. And I'm like, why are we, dude, Jax, come here. Danny immediately wanted to backdoor Tyler. I knew that was coming after the fifth week. So when Danny immediately wants to backdoor Tyler, I'm like, not good for me. Tyler's not targeting me and Tyler will target other people. Like I didn't want Danny to like hit him. We had talked about wanting Ian out. Like I didn't trust Ian. I was like, either we should go after at that point. I was like, Ian needs to go. Cause her and I had talked about so much if this week, cause we all plan out. Cause you think about prior seasons, what weeks the double evictions come. And so you're prepared for these double evictions. And so for me going into the week six, it was like not necessarily going to put Ian right up, but Ian's my person that I want to target. And she agreed and she felt like she didn't trust him at all. Tyler doing that blew himself up and made her kind of like veer away from Ian. But I wanted to just make sure that we could like bring that back. But yeah, Tyler being the target that week, I was like, not a good option. I was like, I do not want Tyler going home this week.
Fun fact, actually, Tyler and Ian made a secret deal, an alliance they called the insurance policy right before this HOH, which did not last very long, obviously.
But well, there that goes.
Yeah. So Danny's also going to let you know that she heard from Kevin that Kevin heard that Tyler and Christmas have a final two. Did that further impact how you saw Tyler? Was that surprising to you?
No, because when you're playing a game that is similar and you're like, oh, this one has a final two, this one, blah, blah, blah. You're like, I had so many different ones spread out that it just didn't like, stuff like that didn't make me like immediately want to like make an impulsive decision. I always would like take information and be like, let me just sit back on this and like wait to find out like when is the right time to use this information. And so like she was always gung ho about Tyler and Christmas, Tyler and Christmas, Tyler and Christmas. And I was like, okay, well, Tyler and Christmas are inside of our alliance. There's a bunch of people that's outside of the alliance. Like we'll figure out a time to do it. And I always felt it was more so because Danny had all these people that were outside of the alliance in her favor. And so she wanted to always target inside of the alliance. And so for me, I was like, not really great because all these people are not in my favor. These people are in my favor because Christmas, I didn't feel like was like somebody I was wildly tight with, but I felt was wild, was loyal to me because of who, how she was and how she played her game. Tyler, I knew was never going to target me at this aspect of the game. And so I was like, targeting people like that were just not what I felt was beneficial to me, because I felt like there were other people that like I didn't feel that confident with, and I didn't feel like my relationship was that strong with.
Mm-hmm. David uses his disruptor power, and Danny has no time to confer with you. I imagine you would have tried to be like, hey, it should be Davon.
I would have pushed Davon or pushed Ian. If she would have been like, absolutely not on Davon, I would have been like, all right, then Ian. I would have done the same thing that like I did to like kind of like make her be like, all right, Ian's got to go up.
Right.
Because it was like, you chose to not do Davon. You're trying to play it and you're going to blow yourself up, which in turn blows me up. And then I used like something that she said to me. She was like, you going home isn't good for me, so I'm trying to protect you. And I was like, if your game gets blown up, that's not good for me because we're working together. And then I was like, you're being too nice and you're letting your emotions get the best of you. And I guess, I don't know. I just said a bunch of stuff and something stuck. And she was like, all right, cool, Ian.
Yeah. And really it shouldn't have, like, once Danny puts Tyler on the block, I thought like this is worst case scenario for Tyler and by extension, you not wanting Tyler to go, because if you had time to talk to Danny, you probably could have talked her out of putting Tyler up. But once she puts him up, surely there's no way she lets him stay. But
because how do you put someone up and then leave him in the house when you did it on impulse? So it kind of lets somebody else know, like, that will let me know, like, I'm way down low on your totem pole, because there was plenty of other people you could have put up.
And she had just promised him, I won't put you up.
Exactly. And that's what, when he talked to me after he had spoken to her, she did the nomination. She's like, I won't put you up. And that's when I knew, I was like, oh man, this is, I thought that, I was like, this is really bad. I was like, because she told Tyler, now Tyler's never going to trust her. She's really going to want Tyler out. And I didn't see the week kind of like playing out. But again, Big Brother is about like always like adjusting. And always like kind of calling an audible. And like in that scenario, it was like, okay, like, and I was kind of hoping that Tyler won the veto, because then it would allow a target to go home that would have been way more beneficial. Mm-hmm. And when he didn't, but then Davon didn't, decided to use it, I was like, because what I wanted to do was, I never wanted to send Tyler home, but her using the veto on Kevin was almost like incredible, because it just allowed Ian to go up, because it would have been way tougher to convince her to target Kevin over Tyler rather than Ian over Tyler, because Ian, now it's like you just burn, like, and Ian we didn't trust, you know. And so I don't know, that ended up just kind of like working out.
Yeah, I mean, Ian was really the perfect person to go here, especially by the hand of Danny. Yeah. Which, you know, you're able to, you know, Nicole is able to be mad at Danny about it. If you had to like point to one thing that convinced Danny to put Ian up, do you, what would you say?
I think the fact that we had spoken so much about how we didn't trust him at all because of the information that was coming late, and then the stuff that went on in at the end of the fourth week into the fifth week. I just felt like there was so much that was like, we're going after Ian, whereas Danny kind of blew up herself with Tyler because she had mentioned the slick six in front of Nicole. And so I was like, you did that to your, like, you did that with Tyler. Like, you broke that trust where, like, I don't think he was going to go after you. And then I was like, just kind of gassing up how he always felt like he was like, I did this to myself. Like, I messed up so bad. Like, I understand why she did it. And like, as long as I stay and everybody's got it, it's good. Cause it makes it look like the committee is kind of helping it, when it was really just like, I don't know, whatever BS I had to say to be like, okay, Tyler can't go home this week.
Yeah. You really use the committee sort of as like the hammer behind your words, even though it was what you wanted.
Because it was like, it was, are we going to blow ourselves up when we have this big alliance, and this big alliance is now going to implode? Because it's like, is Memphis going to take this well? Is Christmas going to take? Christmas just didn't allow Tyler to go on the block when he was asking to go on the block the week before. So now you think she's just going to vote him out this week? Like, our alliance is going to end up imploding, and that is not beneficial for any of us. And that was my thing always. It was that to Nicole about Ian once he was up, reason why he had to go home, like never imploding our numbers, because our numbers are what keeps us safe.
You had a great interaction with Nicole. She's asking you, like, tell me again why it is that Ian needs to go. And you talk about what you just said. Listen about numbers. The committee needs to stay together. We remain insulated. She says, Tyler's going to come for me at the final seven. And you say, yeah, he'll try, but he won't have the numbers to get you out because of how we're setting ourselves up. And that's like almost exactly what happens.
Exactly right. And it was so ideal, because like that, I would run through a big aspect of what I was making my decisions going based off of was, honestly, it was always who needs to go home, because the people that I was getting mentioned next to that I would have probably been be putting up next to would have been Nicole, Danny, or Tyler. And I was like, who needs to go home to make sure if I'm up next to Nicole, I'm going to stay. Tyler versus Ian, all day, just keeping Tyler. Tyler versus like Kevin, all day is going to be me staying. So like, I would always be like, if I'm sitting next to Nicole, who's going to keep me over Nicole? I was like, Memphis, Enzo, Tyler. Does this person have this person? Okay, I would have this numbers. And it would always be like, I would need to eliminate like who would be voting against me if I was up next to like all these people that I was working very closely with. And so like, that's where a lot of the time I was making decisions, which was like planning it out and being like the numbers and be like, okay, well, if this one's going to vote, like, and yeah, it just ends up like, you know, pieces fall, like you put your dominoes, line them up, and they all fall in place. And so.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the whole season, the only person you ever go home against is Enzo. And there's nobody that's willing to put you up against Enzo until you start talking about, well, maybe Christmas will in the end game. This is the week that Memphis starts putting together the wise guys. He's talking to Christmas about it. He approaches Enzo. He tells Enzo about the plan. He doesn't put it into place until next week when he's HOH. But it's at this point that I'm like, ooh, this is interesting for Enzo because he hasn't told you yet. And it's also interesting for Memphis because he hasn't told you yet. And this might be the thing that might start without your knowledge. Christmas is also talking to the cameras at this point about how she's really starting to get worried about you. That she's like, this guy's good. But the problem is Danny's got to go first. And that's the big thing.
And that's why whenever I was having my conversations with Christmas, I would always want to be like, let me try to make sure that this is getting targeted to Danny. And then she was even mentioning, because like Tyler was so gung-ho about Danny and Nicole. And then Enzo would tell me about how Christmas was all bent out of shape about Danny and Nicole. So then it was like giving me the dialogue I needed to go to Christmas about in order to make myself be a little bit more off her radar. Whereas it's like, okay, like I was never afraid to go on the block. I was like, I just need to make sure I'm targeted. I'm up next to somebody who will be targeted over me. And I was like, if I can do this where it's like, I'm either up next to Nicole or I'm up next to Danny, like, you know, whatever they want. Like the other person would have went home next to me at the point that if Christmas really wanted to target me, she would have targeted me next to them. And then the other person would have went home. Mm-hmm. And so I was really trying to set myself up for that situation when it did, or if it did happen.
Yep. So Ian does get evicted. Nicole's got this whole plan that she's doing that is going to trick Devon into thinking that she did not vote Ian out. But it's, you're not that involved in that.
No. That was something that Nicole came up with, which the only thing that I did with that was get frustrated. I was like, wait, so now am I supposed to blindside Devon, who I just said I was going to work with the week before? If Bailey goes, like, the connect is still you, me, and Enzo. I was like, so now I'm going to blindside Devon and I'm going to completely break trust with her. So I was like, no, I was like, I'm going to let Devon know that I'm kind of in the middle right now and I could be leaning the other way. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want this to fall down on me where it's like, well, Cody's voting this way. So wait, why don't we have the numbers? I never wanted to be like you guys said, and I thought it was a great play by Nicole, but I was like, and Danny was like kind of coming out in the clear and Nicole was coming out in the clear. And I was like, well, so wait, where is this going to happen? Like, I don't want to be in a position where Devon thinks I'm BSing her. I was like, so I'm going to be straight up with Devon. And so Nicole and I talked to Devon like side by side. And I kind of like made it seem like I was opening up to Nicole being like, I don't want us to seem like we're on separate sides. And Nicole like stomped away like she was all mad. And it was essentially just to put me in a position where like, all right, now I just opened up that I could possibly go the other way. So it kind of keeps me, like, I was upfront with you, Devon. I wasn't lying to you. And so it would allow it to not really blow up in my face.
I remember actually Devon talking about that and how she was like, no, I really feel like it was real. And then I think it was Kevin who was like, I know it could have been a ploy. And she's like, I don't think so. Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah. But that was really just so that, because I didn't want, because I got to be honest, there was a point where I was like, yeah, like I didn't want Devon. It was always about like, all right, I'm not going to go up and like try, but like I didn't want Devon to ever feel like, oh, he's targeting me, because then I felt like stuff could happen. Cause I was always nervous about the Slick Six blowing up and the Connect blowing up. Mm-hmm. And I was always nervous about that blowing up to the committee. Cause I didn't know how Christmas or Memphis would take that, because Danny and Tyler and Nicole, like they all knew about it. So it's like, I was always worried about, I was like, if I do something wrong to Devon, really the Slick Six could blow up, which could then in turn make the committee link with her and target me. And I was like, and I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. So Memphis wins the next HOH. Mm-hmm. Your goal is David shouldn't go. It should be Day. Yeah. And this,
because at that point, Devon's relationships with everybody else, I was like, Danny not putting her up, Nicole having this thing that she's not putting her up. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm in an alliance with her. It could blow up in my face if I put her up because of the Slick Six. Like, who's going to put Devon up?
Yeah.
I was like, Memphis, like, let's go, dude. Why David is doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. And this is when Memphis does the wise guys thing. I don't know if you've seen this yet.
No, I haven't watched anything yet.
It's pretty funny, even just on the feeds. In fact, like the edit, I don't think even did it justice because it doesn't show just how it was literally. He like talks to Enzo. He pulls you in. He's like, here's the thing. It's the wise guys. And then he kicks you out. And he's like, well,
he was talking to me first.
Right. That was
and
it.
And then Enzo comes up.
You know, he had been talking to Enzo and he was like, I'm going to get Cody and then I'm going to bring you in.
Oh, we talked to him earlier that day.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Okay. Cause like he had talked to Enzo. I know he had mentioned to me that he had kept talking to Enzo about it, but he was like, we got to wait. He's like, if I win HOH or you win HOH, then we'll form it. And I was like, cool. So then when he did it, I guess he was talking to me that morning or whenever it was. Then Enzo comes up, he does it, kicks me out. And then how Enzo described it to me was that Christmas came right in after me. And then I was like, this is my,
it was, like, he kicks you out, pulls Christmas in, and he sits her in your seat where exactly where you had just been sitting, stands in the same spot, gives the exact same speech. And he goes, and we're called the wise guys. And your reaction was like, oh, I love the wise guy. Christmas was like, I'm not a guy.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Christmas later says, you know, I don't love the, I wanted to call us triple threat. Which was hilarious.
That's amazing. That's even better.
So then he kicks Christmas out and he's like, all right, that's the wise guys. That's the wise guys, but we're the real wise guys. And he kicks Enzo out and he just looks at the cameras and he's like, that was too easy.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so arrogant. I kept calling that out. I was like, this dude is so arrogant. I was like, he thinks he, and I always say it, and I love Memphis. So I say this with love. And I don't even have to say that because Memphis knows, because we just have that banter. Like, he was so arrogant to the point of like, he thought like he was just like, I made the committee. And so I'm doing all this stuff, when it was like, that wasn't what was happening. But I'll tell you what, you making the committee was so beneficial to me. Him making the wise guy. I mean, I don't know how beneficial the wise guys was, because I think the relationship I had with Memphis and the relationship I had with Enzo was going to play out that way anyways. Versus my relationship with Christmas. I think it would have still played out the same way, but all it did was make me be like, it detached me from him. So I was like, and then when Enzo told, but it's only because Enzo told me about it. And if Enzo doesn't tell me about it, like, I don't know if that detaches me from my relationship with Memphis. So, cause I wanted to be loyal to Memphis. I always made my decisions based on like, when you give me a reason. And Memphis started like really building after not wanting to go after people that were targeting me early on. He really started building a ton of trust with me. And I started to go back and forth with him because I loved how his mind was working in the game. Like, I loved how his take was on the game because it was very similar to what I was trying to do. Cause we had a conversation once about the, Nicole and Danny were going to target Tyler and Christmas, and they were going to target them too. And so we were going to sit in the middle. It was going to be perfect. And when he started saying that, I was like, oh, he is thinking like, I was like, he gets it. He gets this game. And so then that's what kind of like, I was like, we started to really bond. And then this thing, when Enzo told me about the other wise guys, that's when I was like, oh, he's trying to play. He's really trying to play. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I know where he's at.
Actually, I forgot to mention. So the previous week, Memphis had approached Enzo. He tells him about the plan for the wise guys. Yeah. Enzo goes to you and says, I'm really starting to trust Memphis more without telling you anything else. And you say to Enzo, you should trust Memphis more because he's probably going to approach you soon, wanting to use you to take out the committee. And then like,
I told him that Memphis wanted to form the final three.
Right. And but then Memphis approaches you and he's like, hey, I'm thinking about pulling Enzo in. I was like, wow, Cody really on top of that.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I don't know. I just was like, Enzo was who I was open with. I just was like on all the time in the house. Like I just never like turned off, and whether it was like BS or something, I was like, I would always think back and like run through my conversations and be like, did I say the right thing? Like, how can I like organically make this convo come up if I didn't say what I needed to say so that it doesn't seem like I'm trying to like press issues? Mm-hmm. There's strategy, there's implementing strategy, and then there's always a little bit of luck in this game.
Yeah. So Memphis's secret plan that he doesn't tell anyone is that he wants to backdoor David. He tells Tyler, once Tyler's picked for the veto, Tyler tells you, you're like, dude, you got to win this thing. So he does. Then you and Christmas and Tyler.
I don't think there would have ever been any telling Memphis not to backdoor David.
Yeah.
He won the veto.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I knew. I was like, because Memphis was always like a delicate relationship. And he kind of like said, and I knew it. And then he made me really know it when Tyler won the veto and I said something to him. I said something like, is that the play? And he goes, it's my play. I was like, oh, you're one of those. Of course. And so I was like, all right, I have to like redo. But yeah, Tyler needed to win that veto, because if Tyler doesn't win that veto and Memphis does and everybody else throws it, or if Danny wins it or Nicole wins it and then use the veto the way that he wants it to be used, all that would have done was like made me mess up. It made relationships get closer with other people. And my relationship's been like, I would have been losing a little bit of control, where like Tyler, I felt like him and I were tight. And when he came to me about that, I was like, dude, done for it. Don't let any of them win it, because then they'll use it. And if you win it, we have the conversation to not use it. I was like, so get after it. And that is when I was like, uh-oh, Tyler has been throwing competitions. This kid's an absolute beast. And he just showed why he's a beast, because now he wanted to win and he won.
Mm-hmm.
And won by a lot.
Yeah, and you guys do a good job of convincing Memphis like to be okay with taking Day out. This is when
I just projected it on Danny.
Exactly.
And Tyler and I knew that we'd be able to do that because of how many conversations Tyler was having with Christmas. And for me, it was because I had been having these conversations with Memphis prior. And so I knew. And so I was like, I need to like make it seem like it's a Danny thing with Davon, and like there's something going on there. I didn't want to mention the All Girls Alliance, but I wanted him to understand like they're running around and like be like, wait, did you tell them to throw it? Because I also didn't want him to know that Tyler came to me, because he started mentioning Tyler and the distrust that he had for Tyler. And so I was like, oh God, how am I going to do this? Like, and I tried, what I said to him was, wait, did you tell the girls that you wanted to do it? And he goes, yes. And I was like, that's why they gunned for it, because they probably wanted to be like the golden. And Tyler said the same thing to him, but he didn't believe Tyler when he said it, because he didn't trust Tyler. But when I said it, it was like, oh, here we go. Like, okay, maybe you could get him to do it. It's just funny. That's why like having these final twos, I think, was the biggest aspect. And just being, not doing anything to break that trust with people, made when I said something, it like, this is what had to happen. Where with other people, it was like, I don't trust you. You're trying to play the, you know, you're trying to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. So it's at this point in the game, and correct me if I'm wrong, when I was going through your game, this is the week that it really felt to me like you're really now confiding in Nicole a lot more than you had been before.
Yeah.
And my theory was, it's because Ian's now gone. You really, you've separated her from Danny. You took out Ian. Yep. Now she's yours.
Yeah. Nicole was then at that point, like, I was the closest person to Nicole, because everybody else was like, her relationship with Danny was shot. I had my relationship with Danny still completely intact. Nicole no longer had Ian. I had my relationship with Enzo. My relationship with Memphis was like, had blossomed into something great. Tyler, Enzo, and I had something really good going. And so now for me, it was like, you know, I was trying to like see where stuff was kind of going with David. It wasn't, he was still kind of doing a lot of stuff after he used that power. I was like, I don't really know. And so it started to get to a point where,
Cody?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Of course I used it on you, David. But yeah, it was, that was a good point where Nicole and I were really starting to like, the bond was really starting to like get very, very strong, which it took a long time for Nicole and I to get to that point, because I still felt like, even though there was that relationship with Paulie, there was still that burn that I had with her in season 16. And so like, it took a little bit and, you know, and it ended up working out only because I think, you know, people that she was working with were going home and people that I was working with were kind of like sticking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you tell her about the wise guys, the half of it that you know about at this point.
Yeah.
And you also tell her about so this is a funny kind of situation. So Danny had tried to flip Memphis against Tyler the week before. And during that conversation, he told her that, oh, don't worry, Tyler would be the first to go in the committee. She tells Nicole about that. She also tells you about that. But when she tells you about it, she adds Nicole's name to the mix. She says, he said Tyler and Nicole are the first to go. Right. Or at least that's what you said to Nicole. Maybe she didn't say that to you.
No, she did. Danny said that to me. Danny said she asked Memphis what his pecking order of the committee was. And he said, Tyler first, Nicole second.
See, I never heard Memphis say Nicole. I only heard him say Tyler.
So then I don't even know why Danny brought that up to me.
Right.
But she did.
Right. So
did you see her say it to me?
I didn't know. I didn't see that one. So that's why.
So in the HOH room, and I kind of sat on it for a little bit. And then Nicole said something and I was like, oh, well, did she also tell you that your name was mentioned by Memphis? She was like, no. That was another thing that I think really like broke. Yeah, there was a lot.
Well, yeah, and like sometimes Danny would just like add details that didn't exist to story. So what happens is Nicole goes to Memphis thinking, I'm going to throw Danny under the bus, right? To Memphis. She says, hey, I heard that you said I would be one of the first people to go from the committee. And Memphis misinterprets this because I think because Memphis never actually said Nicole. And so he's not thinking from Nicole's mind. She's like, I just threw Danny under the bus without saying Danny's name. In Memphis's mind, he's like, I never said this to anyone, except I did just have a conversation with Devon. Maybe Devon thought I said this to her. Maybe Nicole was talking to Devon. They are working together. They're telling each other everything.
It's so crazy. I'm like, yeah, do it. Cause they'll know it's Danny. Cause Danny said it to her. And it just, but it in turn went right in the direction of like, all right, we got to get Devon out that way.
Yep.
Classic.
This was funny that Danny, says, okay, fine, Cody, we can get rid of Day, but if we get rid of Day, please, she's like, please, can we get rid of Day instead or whoever, can we keep Day? But she's like, fine, but if Day goes, can I at least, take out David next week? What can we promise?
We'll take out David next week. And there was like, I was like, yeah, obviously I'm gonna say yes, but like, I wanted no part in sending David home. Cause I felt at that point, you know, David said to me afterwards, he was going after me. David to me was somebody that was a little bit easier to kind of, in my opinion, like sway a little bit. And I think it would have been swayed again in the direction of putting up maybe a Memphis or maybe a Danny or maybe somebody that would have been targeted over me. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, oh, he might go after you. And I was like, well, no. So like, even like when I was like, yeah, we'll go after David, it was like, no, because I felt like Kevin, I was like, I don't feel like I, cause I felt like if I had a conversation with Kevin, Kevin would be like, you're full of it. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And so that's why I would have been like, yeah, we'll go after David next week. Like, no, we're going after Kevin next week.
So this is probably one of the more key things that happens. This starting to happen this week, at least from what I was able to tell. For a long time now, Enzo has not trusted Nicole. He wants Danny and Nicole out. Tyler wants Danny and Nicole out. But over the course of this week and next week, he starts to change his mind about Nicole. And that's going to be very important when it comes to the triple eviction. And I saw that you were putting in a lot of work to sort of convince Enzo Nicole's good.
Enzo with Nicole from the beginning, because he mentioned to me right from the jump, I want to target the winners. Mm-hmm. He's like, they won their money. I don't want them winning their money again. I want the two winners gone. And so, like, I even had to convince him against Ian early on, because it was when I wasn't like 100% sure, because he wanted to put Ian up right away in the fourth week. And like at that point, Ian wasn't like I was like, yeah, you're doing a lot, but like I like Kacer needed to go, in my opinion. So I was like, yeah, Ian's causing distrust, but Kacer needs to go then. Now we like spin. It's like I'd been putting in that battle to like keep Ian that week. It was always about Ian and Nicole, but I never mentioned that to Nicole ever, because I never wanted her to have any distrust with Enzo, because those were the two that I really trusted the most.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say, like, that is something that not enough players do. I think one of the biggest mistakes, easily correctable mistakes that players make, is that this is what Danny did, right? Which is that when you have two allies that are good allies for you and they don't trust each other, oftentimes the person will think, oh, this is good for me. I'll fan these flames and make them not trust each other, so they rely on me more. But then they just end up targeting each other and you just lost your numbers. If you encourage them to like be cool, but not like tighter than you, but like be cool, then you're in the best spot.
Yeah. And that's what I always wanted for Nicole and Enzo. And so Enzo always made me nervous how much he talked about Nicole, but I was always like, I felt like he had other, but I also felt like Enzo talked about a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so, but then Nicole started, I think what also happened is how she would always be nervous about Enzo. She'd be like, I feel like you're just closer. And I'd be like, but Nicole, I'm with you. So like, it doesn't matter about my relationship with Enzo. So like, you don't have to worry about Enzo, because like, we're going to beat Enzo no matter what. So like, just start having conversations with him. And I think when the distrust happened with Danny and she no longer wanted to be tight with her, Ian goes home, it caused her to like push. Cause I would always be like, just talk to Enzo. And then I would always say to Enzo, dude, go talk to Nicole, like talk to her. You're going to end up liking her. And then he ended up like loving her by the end. And it was like, you know, but in those weeks, it was so important, because if that doesn't happen, he sends Nicole home, I have no idea how the back end of the game goes.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Like, and by the end of this week, Tyler is like pumping Enzo up as he usually does. Danny and Nicole, we got to put Danny and Nicole up on the block if we win. And Enzo's like, yeah, I'd put up like Danny and David. And Tyler's like, well, wait, what? No. Yeah. It's Danny and Nicole. We got to put Nicole up. And he's like, sure, yo. And then he lets you know, like, Tyler wants David out, yo. And that's when things start to shift back in your direction with Enzo there.
Yeah.
So Devon then leaves. You win the next HOH. This is, you know, things go smoothly here.
Yeah, this was perfect. This was a crucial point in the game, because I win that HOH, and if one of those nominees come down, my cards are completely shit.
Oh, yeah. You would have had to do Christmas.
I would have had to have put up Christmas, because who else would I have put up? And so, like, it would have never went in my favor moving forward, because then it would have been like, somebody went up. If I put up Christmas, I would have had to have targeted her, because... Mm-hmm. I would have just burned a big relationship. And then if I do, like, that may burn me in other ways. So like, when I won that HOH, I was like, these noms have to say the same. The good thing about that was that like, there were a lot of other people that felt the noms had to say the same, because they wanted it to go in my favor. People didn't want stuff blowing up because of the dialogue I'd been having with everybody. They didn't want the numbers blowing up on my HOH week when I was in the power, because it was like the dialogue for so long would have been like, we can't have this me blowing up or you blowing up, like, hurts the both of our games. And so it was so huge, because Enzo was gunning for it so much so that like in any other competition, I think Enzo goes for the 10 G's right off the rip.
Yeah.
And so like Enzo didn't even go for the $10,000. I think that just showed how like there were people in the house like gunning for comps, not for themselves, but for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, you have a conversation with Enzo. This is when he tells you about the other wise guys. Now, Enzo, I think, actually wanted Kevin to stay. And that's part of why I think he tells you about part of why he tells you about the wise guys, because he wants you thinking about Christmas. I'm not entirely sure where Enzo's strategic mind is at this point, because it's not great for him if Christmas leaves. But but this is when he tells you about it. And this is like, this is like the last straw of like the only other thing that could really come and blindside you. You now know that Memphis has this other thing with Christmas. Knowing that, you now know exactly where Christmas stands, and you realize that Christmas is one of the few people that could end up putting you on the block against somebody like Enzo, which would send you home, which is the only spot where you get sent home. And I will say, just hearing you talk about this on the feeds was like, I'm not used to hearing somebody in the house talk about the game the same way that I'm talking about it outside the house. If that makes sense.
Pretty cool. I like that. It just, a lot of stuff was happening where I kind of like, cause you know, like that beginning part of the game, when there's a lot of numbers, what you were telling me early on in this interview, it's like, there's so much stuff that you just like, don't know about. And it's almost like, well, you're targeting stuff because of what you're kind of going with your gut. And some information, there's a lot of stuff. Towards the end, you have your relationships. And when information comes in, it's almost just like you kind of see where it needed to go. And I think just being in the game and locked in from how I was in the beginning put me at a point where I was just like, I knew how it had to go at that point because I kind of saw all the chips falling in place. Once I won that HOH and the NOM stayed the same, I kind of saw the chips falling in place going forward. Because like in that HOH, I talked to Memphis. Memphis said he wanted David out bad, would go after Tyler after that. I knew Tyler was going after Danny or Nicole. I knew Christmas was going after Danny, didn't know who her second one was, thought it could be Nicole, thought it could be me. Enzo, I literally was like, throw the competition, dude, because you can't win and go after anybody unless you want to go after somebody. Like, you'll probably blow up your game. David, I felt like would have went after Memphis or Danny or maybe me. And then, like, for me, I was like, I know. Like, I don't know if I like really should be winning anything after this because like I could blow myself up with people. And like, I was like, I just got by a week where I'm skating through, showing no cards, keeping people that are aligned with me safe. And it almost was like, that's when I saw like how a lot of stuff could kind of like pinpoint and was prepared for like all of that. So it was after that week when I like really got like locked in to like, oh, wow. There's stuff that could happen that can really maneuver me through right to the end of this game.
Yeah. And you tell Nicole about the otherwise guys after you hear
about it. At that point, I was telling Nicole about everything.
Yep.
Everything I heard, I told Nicole. Because honestly, I built so much trust in Nicole, which is why like that cut at the end was like, because we would talk so much about the game. We finally like had like built that like serious trust with one another, which I think the trust gets built based off of other things falling through. And like people that I trusted more than her early on, just like causing distrust. Like I probably would have rode out with Tyler a little bit more if it wasn't for the constant like stuff where Nicole just was doing none of that, from the start. She never was doing anything like talking and causing something to happen where now it hurt me. And like other people were doing it constantly. And like, it was almost like everybody else playing sloppy and blowing up themselves drew Nicole and I close to each other. And her and I being so tight at the end was what saved me in the fifth week because, you know, I got a little bit ahead of it, but you know, yeah.
Yeah. So you get into it with Kevin a little bit, prior to the nominations. And this is part of like an overarching sort of narrative at this point in the game that Enzo is really feeding into, which is that like, hey, the jury might be bitter against Cody. And Enzo is like up late talking to Kevin, you know, every night this week about how Cody's the worst and we won't vote for Cody. Yeah. And I think that's part of why Enzo feels like more comfortable with like you, right? In the end. But tell me, like, you have to be concerned about this in the moment that like, oh crap, like this is the kind of thing that the jury could point to be like, okay, yeah, you played great, but you were a jerk about it.
Right. So Davon said her goodbye speech or eviction speech was essentially targeted directly. It was like quote unquote stuff that I had said to her. So she said to me and then me not saying anything back to her. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I don't know about that vote. Then Kevin saying this, like during this conversation was a lot about jury management. Mm-hmm. One, I was like, what are we talking about here? Jury management. And so like that kind of made me get frustrated because he had been talking about it a lot. And I started getting very frustrated with like, why are people talking about jury management? Like Davon said it. I had heard Kevin had been like telling people like, if I go home this week, like you will not get my vote, and almost like threatening with that. And I'm like, what is this gameplay of Big Brother? Like, what is that? And so I just was taking the route of my HOH week of being like straight up. Like I was very straight up with David. I was like, there's something without saying, hey, David, there's a huge alliance.
Yeah.
Working together that I have to appease. I pretty much said, David, there's a huge alliance working together that I have to appease.
There's a, thing that I have to appease right now.
Yeah. There's groups of people. I think that my quote unquote was like, there's groups of people that I have to appease because of stuff that's going on in the game. Like, i.e., like any person I would be like, oh, you're in an alliance. Like, oh, you want to use me as a pawn. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. And like Kevin, I was pretty straight up with. I was like, dude, I don't know. Cause he was my target that week. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I just wanted to be a straight up. And like when he started like kind of like getting coming to me with the jury management and this started to get a little personal, I was like, one, I understood because being on the block as many times as he was on the block is wildly frustrating. But two, I felt like there was a way, like I was like, if I was in this position, I probably would have went to the HOH and been like, because like for me, what I was looking for in that week was like, who can I use as the pawns? Who can I start using as the pawns to be like, I don't have a relationship with you, but like you'll go up, this person will go home. And I equated it to like Victoria on our season on 16 was a death sentence to sit next to. And I was like, who's going to be the death sentence in this back end of the season? And like, if Kevin had like offered that up like early on, I would have been like, oh, cool. Like, I don't have to worry about Kevin. Like, maybe he'll just be the death sentence at six next to people. Because like Kevin had showed like, Kevin and David weren't like that great at competitions. And so I was like, either one of you could just not win constantly and just be the death sentence that people sit next to. And so like, I was looking for that person in that week because of the conversation with Kevin and I was like, yep, you're not the person. Obviously, David, you're going to be the person that'll be like, all right, you'll just go up as a pawn. So that's where like the Kevin thing, but having that conversation with Kevin, I was like, what is going on? Are we going to have a bitter jury on like All-Stars where they're just like, oh, you put me up and you sent me home, so I'm not voting for you? Because with the conversation, it seemed as if like that's where it was going. And I was like, is that what we're going to base our votes off of, Kevin? Like, you know, but we rekindled that the next day, which was nice. And I respected Kevin so much for like coming and talking to me because like for me, I'm not an awkward person. And so like I wanted to like, there's not a lot of places you can hide in the Big Brother house. Like if Kevin's in the kitchen, like I'm going to stand in the kitchen and like want to have a conversation because that's just how I am. And so the fact that we talked very shortly after I thought was pretty awesome. But, and it was nice because it made me feel much more comfortable that like, oh, maybe he is going to come and he's not just going to be like angry with his jury vote. So even though in that moment I was like, oh crap, it kind of turned around very quickly. And I think he just kind of like, you know, let getting beat up constantly and being put on the block kind of like drive him to just be like frustrated with the fact that like someone like me was never on the block.
Oh yeah. And like
constantly, you know,
he had been doing a pretty great job up until that point of like, just, all right, fine. I'm laying over and dying. Just do whatever you want. Like, you know, every single HOH.
Like if you go on the block, like start with like, being like, oh man, it's like, no, I really want to fight. I want to be here. I want to try to like prove myself. And like, don't give a reason to like really put a target on your back. And like, you probably won't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just was tough. But I also felt Kevin, when I was going into it, I felt like Kevin was more capable than David, like by way more. And so that also weighed on the decision of like, okay, I think Kevin has to go this week over David.
Yeah. So we head into the triple eviction. Memphis wins the HOH. He puts up Nicole and David. Tyler makes his move. He tries to flip this vote, and Enzo blocks it.
Puts a kibosh to it.
Yeah. Yep. If this had happened like 2 weeks ago, I mean, Enzo was down.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this was such a crucial point in the game because Enzo doing that and blocking her from going home essentially sets up, you know, moving forward into that, because say Nicole, Danny go home and those back to backs, I'm targeted. I'm immediately targeted next. Mm-hmm. I think if Tyler would have won something, which he would have sat out. I mean, granted, if the HOH is the next thing,
Christmas is after you.
Yeah,
if she wins,
Christmas is after me. But like, I don't know, because I don't know how it would have made me feel about Enzo, because he would have blindsided me big time. And like, there was nothing I was blindsiding him about. And so like, I was always big on stuff like that. And it kind of showed me the colors with Tyler to make me be like, you're a problem, dude. You're now at the, it's the end of the game. You're tactical. Because then when I, you know, all right, well, so we're in the triple eviction, Enzo blocks it. I felt like it was so crucial to my game that he did that, because don't know how the rest of the game plays out if he clips her.
And, I mean, Tyler would have been in a spot where he's putting, I mean, not that he could have won that HOH, but he would have wanted Memphis and then you gone, because he's got David, he's got Enzo now, he's got Christmas. Right. So
because Enzo voting Nicole out, I think Enzo would have always been loyal to me over Tyler.
Yeah,
and so I think at that point it would have been Nicole would have been gone. So now there's David. I think Tyler's first target would have been Memphis, but Tyler. Yeah. So Tyler's first target would have been Danny if in that next week.
Right. Yeah. Danny's still first.
Because Danny, then Memphis, but then who goes up? Who knows? You know, but like, I still think those two were going home no matter what, because then off the block, David would have voted. Enzo would have voted to keep me. So like, say I'm on the block in those situations, I always was like, all right, I think I do have the votes to stay. If it would have happened that way, maybe not. I would have been blindsided. But I felt like at that point I was in a position to stay with the people that were in the house.
Yeah. And honestly, another, you know, benefit to this playing out the way it did is that Enzo, by not voting Nicole out, loses a ton of respect in the jury. Like up until this point, it really was like the jury was looking like they were kind of mad at you. Everyone loved Enzo. And, you know, all Enzo really needs is like one or two comp wins, like make one or two moves. And like he's got that jury. But when he votes to keep Nicole, it's like, what is he, just Cody's lackey? Like, what is he doing?
Yeah, I felt like the thing is that what I don't think is like described is like, I felt like if he wins or he does that, now it puts him in a situation where I think Tyler and Christmas are tight. Memphis is now tighter with Christmas. Enzo is now just like, he's not like somebody's in that situation. And he would have peeled himself from being, I would have been like, dude, I don't trust you. Like you are my number one. And so like, he now drops himself from being people's number ones. And then does he even get to the final two? Mm-hmm. And so like, although like, I feel like people are a little bit too hard on him for not doing that, because it's like you had a chance to do a move and like not doing so. Like, that's like when people say like, oh, you did no big moves. And it's like, well, I kind of did what I had to do to get to the end. Mm-hmm. It's like, and so like he did what he had to do to get to the end. And I think that if he could have articulated it differently, it would have maybe, but like, you know, that's why I think he doesn't catch enough credit for not doing it.
Yeah.
And I think it's more, he catches way more slack than he should for not doing it, because people are just like, oh, you had a chance to make a big move. But like, that would have 100% burned my relationship with him.
Yeah, like, I agree.
100%. And so like, does that make him get to the end of the game or not to the end of the game? I don't know. Because does that make me get to the end of the game? I don't know. And I just think that, you know, David and Tyler were tighter than Enzo and Tyler. David and Tyler and Christmas were tighter than Enzo and Tyler. Enzo and Memphis are not as tight as Christmas. Like, it doesn't align him in a good situation. So like, if I was strategically doing it, which I don't know what his thing was being, because he didn't want to burn me, which great. But like, for me, when I take a step back and I look at it, like strategically, like why would he have done it? Yeah. I can't like come up with a real reason other than like, I just want to make a big move. But like, I think if you can articulate that, which I saw that from the outside, I saw like, where are these relationships? Like, who is tight? And like I could see Tyler and Christmas were getting really tight. Memphis and Christmas were getting wildly tight. Me and Nicole were tight. Me and Danny were tight. Me and Enzo were tight. Like, I started to see kind of like where these relationships were going. But now when I look at it from Enzo's standpoint, it's like, I don't know. I think it was the right play on his part too.
It was the right path forward to get to the end. And then you never really know with the jury.
Never really know.
And even then, like even with the jury the way it was, all Enzo really needs to do is maybe win that final three HOH and cut you, or like do something else, right?
I think if he articulates it differently in his goodbye messages.
That true. That too.
Sorry, I had to do this, but this is how I saw things happening. And so I think the goodbye messages are big. you know, articulating different things. That was a big aspect of coming back into this game, realizing that goodbye messages are your friend and you do not be phony in them. Mm-hmm. If you're phony, you get the bitter jury. If like you want to choose them to be like really like upfront and truthful, it could be pretty beneficial to you if you can articulate it the right way. And so I think if Enzo does something like that, I don't think it's viewed as like, oh, he just, you know, was doing what Cody wanted. I think it's like, oh, wow. Enzo like had all this, which Enzo did understand that. He just wasn't articulating it. And that's why I feel like people don't give him enough credit.
And that was a problem. Enzo's goodbye messages were a lot of like, hey, yo, I wanted to keep you, but, you know, I just couldn't, which really made him look like he was impotent in the game. And your goodbye messages, I talked about, I thought they were some of the best I've ever seen in terms of just like succinctly describing the, like your position in the game, making sure that people, they understand that like you're doing well, but like not being like too arrogant about it.
I didn't want to be arrogant. I never wanted to come across arrogant. I'm doing this, but I wanted to people to understand like why it needed to happen. And then they asked me in the question in the finale, which we'll get to that. But I just always wanted people to understand like, okay, this is a game. Personally, I would love for us to all be at the end, but like strategically in this game, like this is why it had to happen. This is the information that I base it off of. And then it allows them to be like, well, where did he get that? Oh, okay. I can understand. And I'm always hopeful because you're only hopeful that they understand, because if they don't, then you just get the opposite. And so that was what I wanted to go into this time with, because I know I was viewed as incompetent because I used my goodbye messages the same way you just described Enzo's goodbye messages. Mm-hmm. And that was how I wanted to adjust. There were so many different things in my game that I needed to adjust. And I felt like this was just one of them.
Yeah. And you know, they asked you about your goodbye messages, but I still feel like, despite their feelings about them potentially, there's a reason they viewed you as the dominant presence in the game. And I do think that, like, whether or not they felt the best about them while hearing about it, it still got the message across that needed to get across, which is that, like, this guy is going to win if he gets there.
But the thing is like, people have to believe it, you know, because, like, you could say whatever you want in your goodbye message. People are like, he's full of it. Like, that's not at all what happened. Like, you have to be in on it and then make people have like that aha moment, or else you just look like a phony and like you're trying too hard. And then people will vote against you. Cause I weighed that and I was like, how can I mention this where like they do feel like I had a hand in this decision? I'm not trying to be arrogant about it, but I can't come across like I'm just trying to make myself seem like the mastermind of the season, because I feel like players who are playing will find that inauthentic and be like, no, you're not. Now you're just trying to be something you're not. If you're at the end, I will not vote for you. You know, so it's a tough, but it was something that I had to like navigate.
Yeah. I thought your best one was to Memphis, because like Nicole felt like Memphis was her move. Uh-huh. But I felt like the goodbye message really just made it seem like your move. Like, hey, this is why I did this. Yeah.
I needed that to be the case, because at the end of the day, it was Nicole's move, but because it was Nicole's move as the HOH,
right.
But like when I'm in there, like it wasn't, because Nicole had absolutely no power as to who stayed or went. And at that point we're in Final Four and Nicole's not competing. Like that's the point where you can burn someone and be like, well, you're not competing. You have to win this. And if I win the HOH, I'm going 1-3. Like maybe I could burn the relationship. And I felt like Nicole had trust in me where like we could have maybe peeled off from Memphis, but at that point I knew like Memphis was doing all this stuff. He needed to be the one to go. And so I wanted him to feel that way. Like this was Cody's move, not Nicole's move. Mm-hmm. And that's why my goodbye message was what it was to Memphis. Cause that's exactly what I wanted him to feel.
Yeah.
And he believed it, because Nicole could have probably said a goodbye message that made it seem like, yeah, I've been planning this for a while, which I don't think she had. Honestly, Nicole had wanted Memphis out for a while. And then I kind of like was talking to her a little bit more about Tyler, but he was on her radar for a while. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she had a big hand in it too. And I think my biggest thing was articulating that to Memphis where like he felt it was me and not her.
Yeah. So getting back to the triple, the second half of the triple, Tyler wins the HOH. I believe you threw this veto.
Oh yeah. When Tyler won the HOH, mm-hmm. I wanted no part of winning that veto. Both would have wanted me to use it. Once I didn't, one's getting bitter. I'm like, yeah, I want no part of this. Let me slow down.
Yeah, this one I saw in the moment. I saw you slow down.
Yeah. I'm like slowing down, and then all of a sudden I'm like, uh-oh, I look too much like I'm trying to throw it. And then all of a sudden I slipped off the thing. Mm-hmm. And I like caught myself, and I'm just like, all right, cool. And then like I almost caught Tyler, because then I was like, I'm looking too obvious like I'm throwing it now. So then I like beelined it, and then I got second to Tyler by like not that far. And so I was like, man, I could have won that competition, but hopefully no one knows that I threw it. No one knew that I threw it. But then I told Nicole right afterwards.
If you had won it, you would have tied the single season record.
I know, but I wasn't worried about that at the point.
Yeah.
At that point.
And I do think you caught a bit of a break here, that this is a triple, because Danny sitting on the block all week would have been a nightmare, I think, for you.
Oh my goodness. All week. It was the best case scenario. Best case scenario was a triple eviction. She's on the block. But honestly, Danny sitting on the block next to Nicole, even though it would have been a long week, it would have just been a lot of those like conversations.
Yeah.
Which it is what it is, because her sitting next to Nicole would have allowed nothing to blow up. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was a like triple eviction made me not have to sit there and lie to her so much, which would have maybe made her be very, very unhappy that it happened, and less that it was just like, okay, it happened. He probably was planning it. Okay, he played me. It is what it is. I'll get over it. It hurts, but I'll get over it. And so I think it did. It was beneficial.
All right. So you win the next HOH. It's Tyler and Christmas. Obvious choice. Initially, you want Christmas gone, which makes sense, because Christmas could take you out and Tyler would go after Memphis. But Tyler talks to Enzo, and he outs the committee to Enzo, and he tries to flip Enzo against you, which kind of worries you.
Yeah, backfires drastically. I don't know what else they showed, but what also really made me weary of Tyler was when the Nicole vote happened, he was like, I had no idea what happened. Like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, that's the first time I've ever been on the wrong side of a vote. He's like, I messed up. I just thought it was going the other way. And he had this like dumbfounded look on his face. Like, I had no idea what was happening. Then I win the HOH and he talks to me. And, but when he said that, I was like, I told you in the kitchen. I was like, I told you, what do you mean you didn't know? Like, mm-hmm. I said to your face, we're voting out David. Memphis wants David. So like, how did you think it was going the other way? And you never talked to me. All right. That's weird. Then he talks to me when I win the HOH, and he literally explains the thought process to why Nicole had to go. So I was like, that is not a double eviction. You thought it was flipping. That's like a calculated, you were trying to make it happen. You're a gamer. And I knew he was a gamer, but right there, it was like, now you're outright lying to my face. So now the trust was broken there. Now I have zero trust, and we're at the end of the game. And then when Enzo says this to me is when it like was like nail in the coffin, like you're 100% the target. Because early it was like, man, I love Tyler. I hate to have to do this to him, but he's full of it. Then he explains his whole plan as to why he wanted Nicole gone, which I don't think they showed. It was like, Nicole and Danny were tight. And so Nicole was never, did they show that?
I don't think that was in the episodes, but like, we saw it on the feeds.
Yeah. So that was the whole thing. And like, Tyler had this whole plan. And I was like, that was not I thought the vote was going the other way, dude. And Christmas, it made me realize Christmas was the one who thought it was going the other way because of Enzo telling her and Tyler telling her. So it made me know you're the wolf. Other people are kind of going along, so you're part of the problem. And then when he was doing it to Enzo, I was like, nah, you're really the wolf. Like, you got to go. And so he kind of, again, it's just like you wait, you hold information. And then when people kind of expose themselves, that's what I was always basing my decisions off of.
Well, this was an interesting call, right? Because I was trying to get in your head in this week, and it really did go back and forth for me, because even though you can't trust Tyler, he is probably going after Memphis next week, whereas Christmas is gunning for you. Right. And so by taking out Tyler, you are taking a risk, right? You're taking the risk that Christmas might win this HOH, and she very nearly does. And if you take out Christmas, then the risk you're taking is Tyler's a little more likely to win the HOH. And there's always a chance he's smart enough to go to Memphis and be like, hey, we got to squash this. This guy's the threat, which could have happened.
And I knew at that point, because of the wise guys stuff, that Memphis would have bit on that bait if I was up. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like capable versus not. And like Christmas, I would go through it and it all was calculated, like decisions that could have won one way and could have won the other. I was like, Vito, HOH was handed to Christmas. Vito was thrown to Christmas. She won the one veto. I was like, versus Tyler, who gunned for one, threw a ton of other ones, gunned for one, won it, then won an HOH after something blew up in his face, then won the veto after something blew up in his face. And I was like, he's more of a threat in these comps. And for me, it was always like, I'm making a decision. I can't play next week. Who do I feel more confident beating? And it was Christmas over Tyler, even though it was always going to be about the veto. Because it was like, it was never about the HOH because I wasn't going to be able to compete in the HOH. And so that's where the decision really came down on me. And then, you know, going into that next HOH, I walked out there. I was like, oh man, because I had played in that HOH on my season.
Yeah, twice.
Wonderful. I don't get to play in this one, which I would have smoked. Mm-hmm. I played it twice, like you said. And I was like, I would have smoked this HOH. And I literally watched it and I was like, when I walked out to it, I was like, I think Christmas is going to win this HOH. I was like, this is like, I literally was like, I think she's going to win this one. I was like, wonderful. And then watching everybody do it, I was like, yep, great. Here she goes. Got to win the veto.
Has to be the closest you came to losing the game, because if that ball doesn't drop from Christmas's thing, Nicole ends up winning that veto.
Yeah.
And those are the only two combination of, competition outcomes that would have sent you home, because you would have stayed against Nicole. But if Nicole wins that veto, Enzo is the replacement and don't stay against Enzo.
And Memphis is going to flip on me there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why I was like, you know, it was, you need things to go your way. And that was the one that I needed to go my way. And it did. And so I always say, like, Derek and I always talk about our season. He's like, you're playing a game and you're doing everything, but there's always something that can make something flip on you. He's like, and there's one competition, and it was on 16. It was the numbers competition, and it was me versus Donnie in the final round. And if Donnie wins, Derek and I are on the block. Derek's probably going to be the target over me. And so like that one goes in our favor, 'cause I win the HOH. This one, again, it's Christmas wins. Nicole and I are probably going to go on the block. She wins the veto. Enzo's a replacement. I go home.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah. It was an unlikely scenario in the first place, though. Like, like we talk about it, like it was very close. It almost happened. But like prior to those competition outcomes being played at all, like you said, the probability of that happening was very low.
And it's always like a calculated. That's why I always say calculated decisions, because like nothing is guaranteed in Big Brother. That's the only fact. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I made the decision and it worked out. So it was beneficial.
So Nicole's the HOH. She would like for Memphis to go. You had already decided you wanted Memphis to go. This is another decision though. Like you could have kept Memphis here instead of Christmas. And you know, Memphis is probably more likely to take a shot at Nicole instead of you and the final four than Christmas, certainly more than Christmas would be. But again, you're going to take the sort of calculated risk approach here.
I take the calculated risk in competitions because I see Memphis winning a lot. I then see Memphis like having these dialogues and I'm like, is he going to cut Nicole? Like, is he going to cut Nicole over me? And so for me, I started like weighing these options of, if Memphis has the power in his hands and has the chance, will he do it if he feels like I'm a bigger threat than Nicole? If he feels like I'm tougher to beat? And because I felt myself starting to have those thoughts about like, who's going to be harder to beat? Because when you're down there, it's like, I need to win comps. And now it's like, who's going to be harder to beat? Excuse me. And so there was also that aspect to it that I was like, I don't know. I don't know if Memphis is going to really take me over cutting Nicole, because there was a lot of things that was causing him where like Christmas, I was like, I know what's going on with you. I was like, I don't want to be played by Memphis. 'Cause I really felt at that point, he's saying so much stuff. He was trying to get me put up on the block, mm-hmm. was giving into that when he knew he was safe that week. Like in his mind, he was safe because he had the wise guys all over the house. And so I was like, what are you trying? Like, you're playing too much. And so like for me, it was like, again, with all the different things with the committee, I was starting to plan out. I was like, yeah, this he's going to be tougher to beat in comps and is going to be, you know, I had confidence in myself, tougher to beat in comps, and I didn't trust fully. Where Christmas, like, I felt like Christmas was like, you knew what you got with Christmas. Like, you knew what you had with her.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there,
that's where the decision came from that one.
There's a very funny conversation between Memphis and Enzo. I think it's when Tyler's on the block and he's talking about taking out Tyler over Christmas. And he's just like, we're so close, man. We get to the final four and it's all wise guys. And it won't even matter. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter. And he just keeps saying that over and over. Yeah. I mean, that was like his catchphrase, right? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I don't even remember. Sometimes so many conversations you have, you would just be like, not so directing that at Memphis. I would just have conversations with people. Like,
some of the funniest segments in the last, let me tell you, the episodes toward the end game, there was not a lot to show. Yeah. Some of the funniest segments, from my perspective at least, were you and Christmas and talking, you would talk in the diary room about certain conversations. Yeah.
It would come up every week. I'd be like, oh man, here we go. Talking about Christmas again. I was like, guys, like, can I talk about how much I respect Christmas? Because I feel like I want to be poking fun at her.
Dude, I don't know if you've seen, you need to see the edit of Christmas doing like the talent show conversation with you on the couch.
I want to go back and watch the whole thing like chronologically. So, so I'm going to wait. I don't want to bounce around. Yeah. 'Cause I watched the finale the other night and I just was like, I was loosely watching because there was no like build up to it.
Yeah.
And I just like done it. It was not the other night. It was like a week ago. So I was only a week out. So like, I was still like, I wasn't like fully into it. And I want to like be into it. 'Cause I feel like, what I want to do is detach a little bit so that I can like get back to a little bit of normalcy and then re-get into it like I'm watching like a fan.
Mm-hmm. So you have the goodbye message for Memphis that I talked about earlier. Not only does it, I think, kind of steal some of the credit from Nicole, but I also like that it also kind of puts Enzo in the light of, Enzo ratted out your alliance to me, essentially, again, sort of like robbing Enzo of some of his agency in the game.
Like Enzo let me know this. He was giving me all this information and I was able to calculate why we needed to do it. Again, kind of like taking a little bit away from Enzo. And then I guess, you know, because you never know what they're saying, but I just, because there was a heavy aspect of me making, because I did feel like Enzo and I, when we were having conversations, a lot of it was like, all right, dude, this is what we have to do. Because, but he was very, he knew what was going on just as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
I mean, the thing I talked about, so I went over all three of your games in the days leading up to the finale. My thing with Enzo is that, he played a game where he was in terms of keeping himself safe, always in a better position than you. He was the only one. It was him and then it was you. He stays against anyone. And like, that was the game that he played. He was very good at it. The problem was, it was like, if his chances of going home were like 1% the whole game, yours were like 5%, right? And so like that, but that extra 4 percentage points where you took a little bit more risk and you led from the front a little more was all the difference when it came to the respect that you had in the end. And the agency that you had to put yourself in the position to be in the end, whereas he spent so much energy on staying safe the whole time that he didn't have as much say over the direction of the game and didn't get as much respect in the end.
Right. I totally feel that. And I feel like the number of competitions I won and then on the back end really like solidified it. And the fact that I won the final HOH and brought him really just like sealed the deal, I think.
Yeah. So you get to the final four HOH. And so is going to, again, take the safe route here. Yeah.
He takes a safe round. It's so blatantly obvious. And I'm like, because in the beginning, he's like counting stuff out. And I'm like, dude, we just need to like close her out. I was like, it's 2v1. Like, let's not get let's not get weird and like mess this up. And then it became a point where I was like, all right, he's trying to look good to the both of us. I have to target her because I need her to lose.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be in a position to win the veto. And if she won the HOH, I would not have wanted to be in that position because I would not have wanted to be the one to pick between Enzo and Nicole at that point.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how they would react to it. And so I was like, you know what, whatever. As long as she doesn't win and he does, I'll clip her all day.
The second I saw that comp, I was like, oh, Enzo is winning.
Yeah.
Because Christmas and Cody will have to go after each other.
Oh, yeah. She thought the whole time, oh, he's coming after me. He ruined it. And I was just like, that was such a calculated target to go after you and let Enzo win that it was like, which was frustrating because at that point I was like, man, I wanted to hit that nine HOH, nine comp wins. And that was the one I needed because I didn't get the veto.
Yeah.
Like, man.
So yeah,
I was frustrated about that, but
I mean, different comp probably, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Enzo is not feeling great because the problem for Enzo is that the second he wins this HOH, he now has no control. He can't get Nicole out. Nicole is now locked safe for the final three. And he tries to convince you, but it's not going to
happen. It was never going to happen. And he knew. And that's why when he was saying all that stuff, I was like, oh, dude, you should have thought about that before you wanted to play the safe route and just play the middle. Yeah. Because now I have all the power.
It's a perfect metaphor for his game, really.
What's that?
It's a perfect metaphor for his game, really.
I was like, there's no chance I'm going to let that happen. And I was very nervous about it, too. That if I won the HOH and I won the veto, I would have had to really show my cards because I felt like Nicole would have taken out Christmas, but I did not feel like he was going to take out. I did not feel like he was going to take out a Christmas. So I was in a really bad spot. That came to me like after the HOH loss. I started thinking about it and I was like, this is really frustrating that he did that. But then I started thinking about all the positive. I was like, oh, he just relieved himself of having any power this week.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Both Enzo and Nicole talked about taking each other out at four. Nicole talked about it at five. She talked about it in a way though, that was like, I would love for Enzo to leave, but in order for Enzo to leave, Christmas would need to win the HOH. Like she wasn't willing to do it. If the option was, Christmas or Enzo, she was only willing to do it if the option was you or Enzo.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Which I think it was where Enzo, it wouldn't have been.
Enzo would have done it.
He would have cut her no matter what.
I think so.
And I knew that. Oh, he was 100%. At that point, I could have done all the convincing I wanted. He would have cut her.
Mm-hmm. Now, leading up to this, and I know you heard some of this, like every single week now, Tyler, Memphis, Christmas, they've been telling both Nicole and Enzo, you need to cut Cody if you want any chance of winning this game. I think that's part of the fact that people are saying it and that they're not actually going to cut you is like really good for you because you can't vote for the person that you told them you need to do this or you won't win. And then if they don't do it, then I'm like, now I can't vote for you.
Yeah, right. It was beneficial, but like, I still felt like Nicole thought if she could win those back end ones.
Oh, she did.
She had an argument to like beat me. And I do feel like she wins, takes me, she wins the game. I win, take her, I win the game. Obviously I win, take Enzo. I felt like I had a better chance to win, but like, that's why I was like so big. And I felt like if I win and take her, I felt like I would have won the game, but there was a high chance that she would have beaten me. Higher chance than, you know.
Yeah, higher chance. So what we've kind of heard from the jury is that basically you would have won in any scenario if you're there. But against Nicole, she probably would have been able to pick up at least a couple of votes. And then you never really know what happens from there. That really the only chance, you know, if Enzo cuts you, he wins. If Nicole cuts you, she wins, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what everybody was saying. But you still never know because a lot of people give immediate answers afterwards and you still don't know. Like Cody was winning no matter what, even if Nicole took him. You don't know how people would have voted in that scenario if Nicole gets up and like blows people away, which I slipped and I told her that I was preparing and then I saw her starting to
prepare. Oh, she was practicing her speech for all day, every day for the last few days.
I know because I slipped up and I said something to her. And it made her realize he's practicing. And then she started going into that room. And I was like, oh, here we go. Why did I say that? Because now all she's doing is preparing her speech, her questions. And I was like, because like I knew that was such a big aspect of when I blew it on my season was being way underprepared.
Mm-hmm.
I was so mad at myself for like giving her that ink link.
Yeah. You did a good job though of not giving away any hint that you were going to cut her. And I'm sure you know this now. Nobody in the audience, nobody of watching the live feeds,
nobody watching the feeds knew or anything.
Who That's you were going so to take. Funny.
And the only people that did know were the producers. Because mm-hmm. I would say it to them a bunch, but I wouldn't describe it. I would never even I feel like some of them, because I would describe my relationship between Enzo and Nicole as Enzo and Nicole was, I was like, I say to them, it's not one and two. It's one and like 1.1 because I am so tight with Nicole. I was like, I don't think you guys understand how like this is like, I was like sitting there being like, can one of them just get clipped so I could be the loyal person? And instead they were both there, even though it was beneficial for me, because I do feel like, whatever either of them say, they were both taking me. I know Enzo says some stuff and I'm like, you are so full of it, bro. You weren't cutting me. Because now you're hearing what people are saying to you and now you're giving the answer that you think people want to hear. He was not cutting me and I know Nicole was not cutting me because of our relationship. Like at that point, Nicole wanted to beat me and wouldn't have wanted to lose to Enzo. And that was like similar to, in my situation, I would have wanted to beat Derek, but not lose to Victoria. Mm-hmm. I guess that's how like I understood like, I guess her headspace about it, not calling Enzo Victoria at all. But I understood like that headspace of like, I would rather lose to you than lose to this person. So like, and that's why I feel like Nicole was going to take me. And I do feel like we just got so crazy close. But yeah, it just was, there was a lot going into this final. That final thing, it was so, so crazy difficult because those two were just not even one and two. It was like one and one. And you never expect to get to the end with two of your ones. It's like, it was such a wild, just the game, but I was never even expecting to be in that position.
Yeah. I mean, I'd always, for a long time, I'd always said it's Cody and Enzo. And I felt that was true, especially like, cause I saw it again. Like I saw it as you got closer to Nicole a little bit later in the game. Yeah. Like when, you know, Ian overheard some things, about you and Nicole, I was like, what are they doing? It's not Cody and Nicole, it's Cody and Enzo. Like you didn't even get the right information across.
Right. Right. Because I feel like we were kind of playing a lot of people and I just felt like Nicole. And that's why I also felt like Nicole's game at the end, there was a lot of convincing she could have done, because although I feel like people were kind of viewing maybe some, like I feel like Nicole would have come up in those speeches and been like this, 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 and this, and I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that would have been like such a hammer. And that's why throughout the game, it was always like, I'm loyal to the both of them, but the edge up only went to Enzo purely because Nicole had won the game already. And there was nothing Nicole could have done about that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, I think that's the reason she would have had a better chance of beating you is that because of that. So, that moment was like even the people that hated the season were like, the finale was good. That was.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
That was a good moment.
Around all season to watch the finale. I'm cool with that. Keep the ratings up.
It was just, you don't usually see something that raw and like just heavy.
Yeah, it was intense. Her and my relationship was so, we were so tight. Like
you've been gassing her up all week.
Yeah. I was gassing her up, but like I was also doing that because of the game. Like,
right.
I had heard something she said, like, I don't know why he would, like, she said something in an interview, like, I don't know why he would tell me all week. And I was like, well, you do know why I would tell you all week, Nicole, because I would never allow you to be in a situation. I would never want to be in a situation to tell you straight up. And then you cut me if you win. Like, what am I, that arrogant that I think I'm going to beat you? Like, I knew Nicole was throwing competitions. And then all of a sudden this turn on at the end where I was like, you're not fooling. Like, you are good at competitions. And so, like, why would I tell her when there was a very good chance that she could have beat me? Like, she got one question wrong at the end.
One of the reasons why I think people were like, wait a minute, could he actually take Nicole? Is that you kind of left Enzo, like, hanging. Like you did not reassure Enzo, which is good because like
I didn't want to give because in that last week, I didn't want to be saying a bunch of stuff to Enzo that he could go run and tell Nicole.
Exactly.
If he wanted to finally decide, I'm going to stab you in the back. I'm going to do it now because this is the end of the game. I no longer can compete it's either you take me or she takes me. So like, I'll stab you in the back now. Cause like people will do that for the money. And so like, I didn't want to give him any information to take and bring to her. So I just let him do the talking. And then with her, I let her and I just reassured her because I knew she had the power. Enzo had none. Enzo had no power. So if she went to Enzo and was like, Cody's saying this to me, he's taking me, blah, 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 like meaningless because Enzo holds no power. And it would just reassure that, okay, I know I need to take him, not you. You're trying to like, what are you trying to do here? Like get a vote? And so that's why I just, in that final week, it would have been so pointless for me to just gas him up because why would I give him fuel to go dump on a flame with Nicole to blow up in my face if she wins that final HOH? So that's why I just didn't. Like there was no purpose for me to do that to Enzo.
Yeah.
I'll let him talk all he wanted, but.
So you're the winner. You did it. You corrected the mistakes of your past. You won unanimously. How are you with like with the relationships with people from the game? Like anything rocky, anything good?
Everything is good. I've spoken to Everything's good. There's a couple that I still want to have, but you know, I think it just takes a little bit of time and you know, I don't know. It just takes a little bit of time, but there's definitely relationships that I want to keep going, but I just want to just wait it out, I guess.
Do you think things can be repaired with Nicole after cutting her?
I definitely do. I just want to, you know, make sure that there's no, I don't know. I think that there is. I think that right now it's really raw.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy when you feel, I don't know. She felt like we were so like there was no way it was. I think that she felt that there was no way it was happening.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not mad at anything. Like I wouldn't be mad if she didn't want to talk to me for like a couple months. Like, but I just want to make sure that it's like, you know, that she understands that like our relationship was so authentic to me. And, you know, so, you know, I hope that nothing really like affects our relationship because that was a authentic and real relationship. But, you know, however people take stuff, it's, however people handle a situation and the perspective somebody has, like I can't change that because of how I feel or the perspective that I have. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on one side. If anybody else feels any way about anything, really, you know, it is, you know, kind of is, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit at the start. You had a very dominant game here. Very, very similar. You know, when I talked about your game leading up to the finale, I said, really the only game that really feels like it came close to rivaling how dominant this performance is when you did it with Derek last time, six years ago. And so there's been some talk about like, where do you fall in the ranks of winners of legacy? How do you feel about that?
I feel like I will not give that answer. I'll let anybody else talk about it. I'll let everybody else give their pecking order. I'll let anyone decide who they thought was best. But I was just happy and grateful to go back and play the game. For a second time, even more incredibly grateful that the opportunity was given to me and I was able to succeed and win the game. I love that people give me and like respect the game that I played. And I love that past winners respect the game that I played. That means a lot to me as a competitor. And so I'll let everybody else talk about it. And I really appreciate the words of it. And I love it, but I'll never like gas myself up, you know? So
that's just not. Have you and Derek had the conversation of, all right, which one of us is better now?
Yeah, he tells me it was me.
Yeah, I know.
He tells me it was me. He's like, dude, he's like, there's no way that I could say because you did what I did, stayed off the block completely, won a ton of competitions, and just played a very calculated, like strategic, great game. He's like, dude, you played the best single season game I've ever seen. I'm like, hey, hearing that from Derek was big time. Because I think he's just so incredible because of the, you know, I don't know. I just think I view the people that I learned from, you know, as higher up than I view myself. Mm-hmm. Cause like I watched all like everything and it just gave me like that, like stepping stone to just really be where I was this season. Cause you make calculated decisions based off of past histories of different seasons. And you know, that's how the, so yeah, I don't know. I never pushed myself and be like, oh yeah, I'm better than all of them.
Apart from Derek, who do you think was like the, like you learned from the most?
I learned so much, like the maturity of playing from watching season 2 and season 7. Watching Will was like huge, because just seeing, even though our personalities in the game that we played was so polar opposite. I don't think anybody has played a game like Dr. Will at all. Mm-hmm. I think he's in a completely different, because he played and was incredible in a different way, because he would test people to see how I can manipulate you. But his calculations of like why he was doing certain things really helped me. And then playing with Derek and seeing how our season played out, I think was the biggest thing for me, because that's what I really rang true to, like why I'm making this decision. This decision was made on 16. Cause like you can prepare all you want beforehand. Like it's different than playing the game. Mm-hmm. It's not the same, because everybody comes in with the plan. They're going to be the next best. Like you got to come and you got to execute. And if you don't, like you're going to go home. And so for me, it was like coming in and executing. I just was going, I was like, Derek in these situations would say this to me during the season. Is this apply here? Does it? Yes. Okay. This is kind of the route. Does it now? No, I think it should be this way because I want to go based on these numbers that we have. So like, I think playing with Derek and then watching our season back too, went like in sequester, made me be like, I get it. I get this. I get that. And this is why this was happening. And so I think that, you know, Dr. Will made me put a little less emphasis on the competitions and be like, oh, there's like this strategy and social, like I know the social aspect, but there's strategy to the social aspect, not necessarily just like being social. Mm-hmm. And Derek's was like that strategic, like numbers game of like, this is where we have to go with the numbers. And this is what, and then like watching it back and then thinking back to when him and I would talk on the, in the game, I was like, oh, okay. And it made a lot of more things make sense and helped me really navigate how I did. Plus you always need a little bit of luck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. All right. Well, thank you so much for, for giving so much of your time. Anything else you want to address or say before we end this?
No, I just want to give a shout out to CBS and our house for bringing me back and giving me a chance to win the game.
There you go. I believe you said in some post game press that you were willing to come back again. Do you still feel that way?
Under the right circumstances, we'll see what happens.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much again. Where can people find you if they're interested in, you know, checking you out on social media or whatever?
Check me on social media. My Instagram is at Cody Califuri, one word, or check me out on TikTok, at Cody Califuri. I'm not very active on Twitter, but if you want to follow me, I would say Instagram is the best way because that's where I'll probably post my pictures and, some funny stories about Texans and Floridians.
Mm, and how ripe things are,
how ripe things can be, what is time, all this fun stuff. So we'll find it all out on my stories on Instagram.
There you go. All right, you can of course find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Thank you guys again for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the lengthy game recap here with the winner of Big Brother 22, and I'm sure I'll be back with some more of this in the future. But in the meantime, see you next time.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.